Leon Black, the billionaire co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has long been tied to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal through massive payments and a close association that he himself has called a horrible mistake. Yet he shelled out $62.5 million in 2023 to the U.S. Virgin Islands to settle and avoid any potential claims tied to Epstein's operations there, where some of those funds indirectly supported Epstein's island empire.
The headline should be Leon Black paid Jeffrey Epstein $158 million for services over 5 years as like a tax advisor. This is a story of a U.S. billionaire paying a convicted sex offender hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, with the lending, it brings him $200 million into Jeffrey Epstein. And the report found that he visited Epstein's home in New York multiple times and his other homes around the world as well. In order to, like, what, cut his tax bill by $1 or $2 billion, which even that strikes me as concerning.
The leaked document from the Epstein files from 2026 DOJ releases consists of heavily redacted attorney notes from a May 2023 call. Multiple women accused Black of violent rape, often under the guise of massages. One described 7 to 8 years of sadistic abuse, including vaginal biting, causing excruciating pain and bleeding. Another claimed a brutal assault with head slamming. A third, a developmentally disabled 16-year-old girl with autism and mosaic Down syndrome, alleged trafficking by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, forced to massage Black naked, then violently raped, causing severe rectal and vaginal injuries. Of course, Black has vehemently denied all involvement, calling the accusations baseless, uncorroborated, insisting he's never met certain accusers. And now the outrage is exploding nationwide because LifeTouch, the company behind school pictures for countless American kids across the country, is owned by Shutterfly, which Apollo Global Management controls through its funds.
The rumors have caused concern among parents around the country.
No one really thought anything of it until we started thinking about, okay, wait, who actually is seeing these pictures instead of just the parents?
LifeTouch, too, has responded, releasing a statement which reads in part, LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activities.
You want to know who owns those photos, and that's typically done by contract, and what can be done with the photos later between you and the photographer.
Stephen Clark is a South Bay-based attorney. He says it's important to read the fine print on consent forms for things like school photo shoots. Tech expert Ahmed Banafa agrees, especially given the chance of a data breach.
You know, about 5 million pictures being sold on the dark web in 2023.
Meanwhile, in the latest torrent of Epstein documents, Woody Allen and Jess Staley emerge as another grotesque thread in the financier's web of influence. Allen pops up repeatedly in scheduling logs and emails, with Epstein even paying $15,000 for their kids' elite private school tuition. Emails between Woody Allen and Epstein reveal a conversation about cannibalism. Epstein says he didn't just cause heartburn, he ate them. Epstein says hearts. Then Allen says thanks. Allen says, at least I'm thinner. Epstein says, because you also eat the bones, providing fiber. Allen says, I don't like waste. Staley, the former J.P. Morgan rainmaker turned Barclays CEO, exchanged over 1,000 emails, some laced with creepy Disney princess references and young women's photos.
And so the New World Order is in deep trouble. They're basically done. And we should focus on the files we're suppressing. We should focus on the cover-up, but also focus on what we got.
A financial kingpin, a predator banker, and a legendary filmmaker, all orbiting the same twisted world of Jeffrey Epstein. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're jumping on board with us. Some of my favorite people will be joining the show today, and I'm very excited about that. Matthew Marsden will be joining us actually in this hour. He's an early riser. The guy's got like a whole squad of kids, so he's up at the crack of dawn. So he'll be joining us today to discuss Prince Andrew. We'll go with first UFOs, and then maybe he'll dabble in a little bit of the tensions between the United States and Iran as well. A lot there. We're also talking to Rachel O'Brien. Now, Rachel O'Brien is an investigative journalist over at Open the Books, and they've uncovered just a massive amount of fraud. It'll be quite the enlightening discussion that we have with her, and I look forward to diving into that. The numbers are off the charts. And of course, it has to do with the COVID pandemic. As many of you recall, a lot of fraud happening there. I'm just going to map it all out for us in just a little bit. Also joining the show today is Dan Lyman, one of our incredible InfoWars reporters. He's jumping in on the show today to break down an exclusive that he has obtained over at BorderHawk as well. That's the other entity that he works with. And there's a lot that he's got on his radar. Also, there was an illegal alien arrested for causing a fatal accident. He apparently was operating a massive, massive semi, it was a construction vehicle. And then, we got his driver's license that he obtained here in the United States. And it's actually a real ID, which is quite strange. So Dan Lyman will be joining us to sound off on that. Again, we were told that wasn't supposed to happen. They weren't supposed to be able to get those. But we'll see what's going on there. We'll also be talking with Mel Kay in a little bit as well. She's got a lot to sound off on in regards to the Epstein files. And I look forward to having her on the show. Oh, man, a lot happening there. All right, so let's dive into the very first thing. As many of you guys know, we've been discussing this for, you know, days now, but it's been kind of a never-ending pit of information. All these drops coming out from the Epstein files that are obviously very, very important, and we, of course, are going to continue to break it down and keep it, just keep it going. Because, again, folks, we need accountability here. The New Mexico Attorney General has just recently reopened a criminal investigation into what was going down on Epstein's property. As many of you guys know, he owned that ranch in New Mexico. Yesterday, they announced that they were going to reopen that case. Now, again, this was a case that was previously shut down. It was closed back in 2019 to avoid the overlapping of the federal efforts. That's what we were told. But right now, they've brought that back in. Now, according to a lot of accusations, there might be two female girls, foreigners, buried on the ranch. So as of right now, they are looking to possibly go out there and to find and recover those alleged bodies. Again, this is insane that this has gone on for this long. This is insane that we're just now reopening this investigation. Again, the feds and state officials, I mean, everyone was just working together on all of this. And I get it. They're trying to make things right now. But none of this makes any sense. None of it. None of it. Why would you shut it? We see state and federal law enforcement agencies working side by side on separate investigations all the time. So the fact that the state stepped away from it because they said that the feds were working on it, that just doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to add up. But again, it's one of the many, many layers to all of this. It's also worth noting that yesterday there was an announcement from Jeffrey Epstein's estate saying that they've agreed to pay $35 million in a settlement. Now, the settlement's actually a class action lawsuit that was filed. It was filed, well, obviously against Jeffrey Epstein, but the victims in this case are, again, young women and girls. The settlement amount would be $35 million if 40 or more eligible victims join the class action lawsuit, or $25 million if fewer than 40 join that class action lawsuit. So again, they're just trying to pay out massive amount of money just to get these kids to, these women to shut up at this point. That's what this is all about here. I don't even know how you kind of sift through all of this to figure out who's truly a victim and who isn't. But I also don't even know what you do in this situation. And how the heck does Jeffrey Epstein's estate still have millions and millions of dollars to pay out that massive settlement? Probably something worth looking into. Again, this proposed file was done in the Manhattan federal court. And so we'll continue to see if this does get approved. But again, that's just one of the many layers to all of this. It's so infuriating. So infuriating. All right, as many of you guys know, we actually had Ann Vandersteel on the show earlier this week to discuss a woman named Catherine Rumbler. She's a former White House counsel for Barack Obama. And she was also just recently a top lawyer for Goldman Sachs. Now, obviously, she's since resigned. That's what we're talking about with Vandersteel. But the two of them were very, very friendly. Very, very friendly. Apparently, she forwarded Epstein a draft email containing non-public details on White House counsel office investigations, including interviews and findings, while complaining about this being top secret crap. That's a direct quote, by the way. Epstein offered her advice and suggested that she do some edits in her drafts, what she planned to send to a journalist amid ongoing scrutiny from lawmakers and media that even put her in consideration. At one time, apparently, she was supposed to be the AG. That's what the report's claiming now. Now, again, she's not admitting to any wrongdoing. She's denying any wrongdoing, in fact. And she's also openly expressed her sympathies for Jeffrey Epstein's victims. That's nice of her. It just feels like it's never, never ending when you find all these emails. They're all coming about, and we're going to be talking about it throughout the show today because there's all these new drops happening. There was even one, and it's kind of crazy, but this newly released emails show that back in 2016, Jeffrey Epstein was offered the opportunity to invest in a potentially co-own a large it's almost close to 85,000 square feet building complex near the Pentagon, described as a very critical element to all of this. Now, at the proposed price, about $116 million, that would have made him effectively a landlord to the United States government. That's according to the reports. There was another proposal that which took place in 2015 involving Epstein, investing in FBI field offices and U.S. courthouses. How insane is that? Folks, they were going to allow this guy to buy access into these bills. I mean, and we're talking 2015, 2016. It truly makes your blood boil. Now, again, those two FBI field offices have been Richmond and Baltimore. This is what was going, folks, this is why everyone's silent. This is why you saw no movement on so many different fronts. I mean, this guy was so heavily embedded in all of this. While in his downtime, he was just raping children. Absolutely sickening. Absolutely sickening. I want to get to clip one. Les Wexner, and I told everyone yesterday when I was filling in for Alex, I was like, man, I can't wait to sit down and watch this whole deposition that he gave. It was a little over 2 hours long. And Les Wexner was grilled by several individuals, but nothing bombshell, I'd say. But in clip one, you're going to hear Jasmine Crockett, who's obviously a garbage human being, as she tries to get Les to kind of implicate President Trump and make the connection as if she ever saw President Trump, or he ever saw President Trump really hanging out with Epstein, maybe trying to get some girls, some underage girls. She did her very, very best. Take a listen to clip one.
Did you ever spend time with Epstein and Donald Trump?
Together?
Yes.
I would answer this question accurately. I would go to some of the Victoria's Secret fashion shows because it's very important to the brand. At some of the fashion shows, Jeffrey was there and some Trump was there. And I remember because Trump would always introduce himself to me. And I always thought it was kind of odd that he was at the fashion show because he had nothing to do with fashion. So the coincidence of them being together at an event, it could have been that, but I have no specific recollection. I never had a social or like a drink or a cup of coffee, something, you know, that would put them together.
Okay, so just to clarify, because I want to make sure we're clear on the record, you're saying that you can recall instances potentially where Epstein and Trump were together and you were in their presence, or just a random scenario where Epstein may be there, Trump may be there separately, and then you would go?
It would be at random. That would be accurate. If it happened, but I have no specific recollection.
Okay. Did you ever see or become aware of President Trump having a sexual relationship with a person who was introduced to him by Epstein or Maxwell?
No.
Yeah, so obviously she's trying to pin him down. First off, by the way, what a surprising moment. You mean President Trump like going to lingerie fashion shows to look at supermodels in lingerie? I mean, obviously this is something we know. He's a heterosexual man. We're not talking about children. We're talking about grown women. His wife is a supermodel. He clearly has a type. He clearly has a type. But they're trying their very best to get him wrapped up in all of this. He is the only one. And again, I don't know why he's doing this whole dance around the White House. This PR nightmare that's happened for the White House is all self-inflicted at this point. But the reality of it is those on the left have been trying their very, very best to go out there and try to connect President Trump to the sex trafficking ring that obviously many elitists were all involved in. But again, our own DOJ can't tell us who was involved in any of that. They just keep kicking the can down the road. Can't ask those questions. Can't ask those questions. Just be happy that they gave you heavily redacted documents. This administration has been a massive disappointment, and I don't want to sit here and tread lightly on this right now because I actually was up. I was up very late last night, late for me at least. I was infuriated. I'm trying to figure out the best way to put it. President Trump signed an executive order that could potentially give, and this is just mind-blowing to me, Bayer, the company Bayer, which makes Roundoff, or the weed company that creates glyphosate, Roundup. Roundoff is kind of the same thing, though, guys. New name. It's a little early in the morning, guys. A little early in the morning. But I was so angry yesterday. I'm trying to figure out how do I talk about this where I don't sound infuriated. The one thing we were still holding on to just seems to be infiltrated at this point. What am I talking about here? Maha. We knew that all the lobbyists from Big Ag and obviously the first pharmaceutical companies, by the way, I would consider Bayer as a pharmaceutical company. They consider themselves to be a health company on their website. So the fact that they're producing a product, which according to several reports to juries too, it puts you at risk of getting cancers. We know the damage that it does, glyphosate. Like, this isn't a joke. We know. There's tons of evidence about it. For some reason, the president signed an executive order, which now will give the maker immunity. Most importantly, also, it's going to speed up the production, because that's what we really need. We need the chemicals that China has banned from their country. By the way, China makes these chemicals and gives it to us. They don't feed their own people this, of course, because they don't hate their people. We feed it to our people, though, because, well, everyone sells out. And so this is the stance of the White House. They have officially taken this up. And it makes my blood boil, given the fact that we don't need these chemicals in our foods. And yet here we are. Here we are. So when it comes to all of this, yeah, I'm a little fired up. Yeah, I'm a little angry. You know why? Because nobody voted for this garbage. Nobody voted for it. And I'm so angry that we're sitting here pretending like this is acceptable behavior from this administration. RFK Jr., I can only imagine. I mean, we haven't really heard him speak about this because we all know that for a very long time now, RFK Jr. has been fired up on this issue. And this was something that he has spent many years going after this, going after glyphosate, trying to ring the bells about how dangerous this chemical is in our food. But we haven't really heard on him. I saw like a little statement that was pushed on. It was probably written up by a PR person. It didn't sound like him at all. Good news, though. There was a, this is what the media wants you to think. There was potentially a shortage of glyphosate until President Trump signed the Defense Production Act, which now makes this a national security issue. Because if you can't get glyphosate in your food supply right now, this is according to the White House, we might actually have a food supply problem, which, of course, is national security, and they wrap it all up together and serve it to you like you're a moron. There's tons of studies that prove that glyphosate is actually one of the worst things that a human can actually consume. Why? Because it's meant to kill weeds. And RFK Jr. knows this. In fact, RFK Jr. detailed on how we have devices that you don't even have to implement and use glyphosate at all. In fact, we have lasers that could be utilized, which I would be okay with our government using and paying for help farmers who are low income, so that we're not putting glyphosate in food. It's in everything. It's in everything. Wheat products, breads. Thanks to the great study that was done by the great folks over in Florida, brave Republicans who tested the bread that you buy on the shelf at your supermarkets, glyphosate's off the charts. Americans are dropping dead from turbo cancers. Obviously, we know the vaccines killed so many. And then now we've got this. It's just another blow to the MAHA agenda. It's just another blow to the American people, as if we're dumb to believe that this is somehow, some way, a good thing. I want to play clip two for you, because Alex Clark, she's done an incredible job over at Turning Point, breaking down a lot of this MAHA stuff for the American people and simplifying it so that every American can understand what's going on with our food supply. By the way, she's someone who's a very strict eater, organic only, and is very particular about what she puts in her body. She has glyphosate in her body, she was saying earlier, too. I saw that on X. Why? Well, because it's in everything, because they are trying to kill us. The companies that are producing the glyphosate are the ones that are trying to sell us the fix on it, just like the vaccines, of course. And everyone's just selling us off. In clip two, Alex Clark had an incredible guest on her program where they broke down the dangers of glyphosate and how Republicans are selling us out. Take a listen.
The left politically is very captured by pharma. Who are politicians on the right primarily captured by?
Just follow the billionaires.
It's big ag, big chemical is what has captured a lot of conservative politicians.
The entire origins of glyphosate was fraud. When the EPA comes out, or when scientists come out, or Bayer comes out and says, it's safe, we've done a million studies, it's all safe. It's a lie. Because the studies actually show it.
What does unbiased science show about glyphosate?
When people are exposed to glyphosate, they develop cancer, diabetes, endocrine disruption, infertility, lower testosterone.
These are chemical companies that are not American. You've got ChemChina. They want to spray certain pesticides in America that they don't even allow in China. I mean, that is biochemical warfare, in my opinion.
They realize they're not going to win the public opinion. So they're just going straight for the gullet. They're going after the government. They've introduced all these laws that create a special immunity for Bayer and pesticide makers that says you cannot sue.
And then what happens to American citizens, American families, and farmers?
They suffer. They get no money, no compensation, no settlement, no right to sue. They just get poisoned and there's nothing they can do about it.
For someone on the outside, this really looks like mafia-style tactics. You're talking about isolating critics, attacking credibility, controlling the narrative. Is this still happening, you think, today under Bayer like it was with Monsanto?
Oh, it's worse now.
Do you think that I'm on Bayer's radar because I've been speaking out against glyphosate?
Yes. I'm sure they have a dossier about you, have a battle plan.
This is the most important episode of the year.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be putting that into your foods. Folks, this is what's going on right now. We have these big ag companies. We have these chemical companies. I don't even know what you want to call Bayer at this point. I do know based on their website that they claim to be a health company, one that also handles food as well.
This is garbage. This is utter garbage. And our politicians are selling us out. There's no fluffier way to put that for you guys right now. We are being sold out. These people have sold us out. I don't know how many more times I could tell you this. There's a massive issue right now in this White House, and I just don't know what else to say. And I tried to think about how we're going to put this to at least give them maybe a benefit of doubt. I mean, they signed this executive order and then just moved on, knowing that so many people were going to be outraged by this. This doesn't help Americans. This does absolutely nothing to help Americans. And I'm not going to try to sell you on this. This does absolutely nothing to help Americans. And it's a slap in the face to RFK Jr. Again, I'm sure he hasn't come out to speak about this yet. I haven't seen anything about him speaking since the executive order was signed. But I bet you he is probably foaming behind closed doors right now, so angry that they did this to him. Because I don't even know how you defend this, right? Because he can't now go out there and bash the president for it. These people don't care. They need to be treated like the enemy. Those who are buying off our politicians need to be treated like the enemy that they are. Again, folks, China doesn't even do this to their people. But they give us these products. We're at war on every front. The health front, obviously, this being a major one, and every other one. They're buying up our lands. They're buying up our farms. It's like, how much more of this do you need to see? Florida Surgeon General Joseph Laputo, he's actually really, really incredible. He was one of those that during the pandemic, I appreciated his insight on a lot of these issues because he was one of the first to actually go out there and say, I think this is causing heart issues. Well, he's not backing down either. And in clip three, he also discussed about the dangers of our food supply relying on things like glyphosate. Take a listen.
The counter arguments would be that, it's going to be, if we stop using this or if we reduce how much of this we use, the food system's going to collapse. We don't have a choice but to continue using this. Please remember that is complete bollocks. Okay. There is an alternative to poisoning people. It is not inevitable, okay? Like, it is possible to grow food in a sustainable way that, that doesn't involve folks ingesting stuff that makes them sick. So please, when people say that, just, know that it's complete nonsense that for hundreds of years we managed to feed people on the planet without doing it. And this idea that it's inevitable is just, it's just nonsense.
So, yeah, just nonsense. Right. It's just nonsense. Anyone pushing it is a treasonous pig and needs to be called out for it. By the way, Congressman Thomas Massey, a lot of people don't like him these days because he's very much embedded in his morals, and that's kind of his compass on how he carries himself throughout Washington, D.C. But Thomas Massey going out there and says that he's going to put forward a bill. It's called the No Immunity for Glyphosate Act to undo the executive order, which should have never been signed in the first place and should be legally challenged. Again, this is his efforts to go out there and to push back on this. And this is why the White House isn't too fond of Thomas Massey these days, because he doesn't get in line. His moral compass tells him what decisions he's going to make. And a lot of people don't like that in Washington, D.C. All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, because today's the last day to enter to win that contest of those two sick rides. Let me tell you something. Today's the last day. You get 100 entries for every dollar you spend over at the shop. And when you do that, you're entering to win potentially two vehicles and $20,000 in cash. It's a great offer right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, it is that F-250, that Ford Mustang. That is what you could potentially win, plus $20,000 in cash. It's an incredible deal. I see a solid investment over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there and make sure you get something so you can enter this contest. It's an investment in both your health and obviously in your financial future when you do just that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend week. Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
We don't need you no more.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch live right now at band.video.
Shave my beard. I am not Rob Duke. I'm Brandon Morrell. Welcome back to the show. We're excited you're all joining us today. You know, Rob did a great job, though, yesterday filling in. By the way, I will be out on Monday and Tuesday. So for those of you, I know a lot of you reach out and X and share the link and share the show and tag me in it. So just so you know, I don't want to disappoint, but we won't disappoint. There's going to be somebody else filling in for me who's going to be much, well, much, much better. I guess wouldn't be the proper way to say it, but much, much better. So, you'll see them, but just to let you know about that little one. I wanted to also talk a little bit about, well, the royal family. As many of you guys know, yesterday, Prince Andrew, former Prince Andrew, whatever you want to call him, was arrested. He was quickly released, though, a couple of hours later. Obviously, we're still waiting to see if there's anything serious here. Yeah, he could possibly face life in prison, but the guy looked like he was waterboarded in there, which I would say is appropriate, given the accusations he's currently facing. But obviously, it was a very rough experience for him. It's mind-blowing to me when we talk about the UK, and we talk about the UK being the first government to actually go out there and make a major arrest. This is the same government that has literally allowed thousands and thousands of Muslim invaders into their country, men who go out there and rape their women and children. They don't take that seriously. They've allowed it to happen for decades now. But the Epstein files, well, now all of a sudden they look like they're more serious than the United States because they are actually going out there and making a arrest. So that's a kind of a win for them. Not so much for us, though. It's kind of embarrassing to sit back and watch. And by the way, this arrest was the first royal arrest in nearly 400 years. That's according to reports. So it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. Now, again, he was arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Now, although his fellow royal members sit there and they publicly go out there and bash him, the reality of it is, well, you guys were all giving him loans, which he was later using for settlements with people like Virginia Giuffre. So what are we talking about here? You had no problem trying to funnel in money to keep these victims quiet. But now all of a sudden we're going to sit here and pretend like you actually care for these victims? In my opinion, I don't think they did. Joining me to discuss is Matthew Marsden. He's one of the incredible contributors over at Blaze TV. He is also an incredible actor, producer, and so much more. And it's an honor, of course, to have him on the show. If you don't follow him on X, I highly recommend you do. Matthew D. Marsden is where you could find him. That's Matthew D. Marsden. All right, Matt, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you back on, especially because it's really, really early in the morning. I was telling our audience that you've got a whole squad of kids, so you are a morning guy. But I wanted you to weigh in on this because obviously this is big news. The UK made the very first, I could say, high-profile arrest regarding the Epstein files. What do you make of it?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure. I agree with every single thing that you said. It's been about 400 years since the last royal was arrested. So it's obviously an absolutely massive deal. And yes, it's completely embarrassing to me as an American that the first high profile arrest has been done over in the UK. And again, to your point, they're letting people come in, by the boats and seemingly letting off, grooming gangs and raping gangs. And yet they're going after Prince Andrew, or the artist formerly known as Prince, right? He's not called Prince Andrew anymore, but most people just call him Prince Andrew. It is a absolute massive scandal for the royals over there. And I can tell you, like, when I grew up over there, I didn't really care much. I didn't really bother about the royals. I was brought up like a working class kid. So, you know, they're always the aristocracy to me. So I was neither here nor there, for or against them. But as I got older, I really got to appreciate the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. She really was an amazing human being. She served in the war, and most people in the UK love her and loved her. She's obviously now gone. But she was a real stabilizing influence in the royal family, because I always remember thinking, why doesn't she abdicate now? Why didn't she give over the crown to Charles? And clearly she knew that she got like a bunch of dysfunctional kids. So that's why she wasn't doing it. And this is, as I said, it's a massive scandal, not only because obviously he's a prince, but you have to remember the way that the court system works in the United Kingdom, that if he does go to court, he's just been arrested right now, but if he does get charged and he has to go to court, the prosecution comes on behalf of the king, right? It's on behalf of the monarchy. So it'll literally be King Charles versus Andrew Mountbatten. So he's against his brother, which is unfathomable for most Brits. So, and again, you got to remember, a lot of people go on and on and on about the royals. Why do we have royals? What's the point? Well, the thing is, one of the main reasons why people go to London and go to the United Kingdom is because there's a real royal family there. It's not Disney. You can really go and see a real palace with a real king in it. And the amount of money that the royals take in, or bring in, should I say, for the United Kingdom economy, through tourism is absolutely massive. So this tarnishes the name. I personally feel like they're just trying to get out in front of it. I actually don't think he'll go to jail. I cannot see that in any way, shape or form. But regardless, Charles is in a really difficult position. I think that what will happen is he's not very well. It doesn't seem. I think he'll abdicate. And I think William will become king. I think that's the way that this is going to play out.
Well, I mean, he can't really cover for this, right? Like at this point, there's probably going to be more and more evidence that comes about. I mean, it's 3.2 million documents. So everyone publicly is trying to sift through it all. Do you think, I mean, it's really, really rough to do. The connection is pretty solid between both him and Epstein. Also, it's worth noting that according to the latest dump in the Epstein files that Prince Andrew's ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, which is the former Duchess of York, was apparently getting payments from Epstein. This is according to several reports. She was only getting payments soon after they both filed for divorce. So that lasted for about 15 years. So that just dropped yesterday. So that's obviously a big one, too. So there seems to be more information coming out about this. But do you think, I mean, it seems like they can't cover for this anymore. Do you think they're going to at least try to push back a little bit, or do you think they're just going to keep letting the PR mess continue to fold out?
I don't think they can cover for it. I mean, like I said, they've done what they can in the sense that they've got out in front of it and they've charged him. And I believe that they charged him with sharing confidential information, not anything else. Mm. So that again, it's one of those chess moves, isn't it? I think that they're looking and saying, look, you know, we went out there, we've arrested him, we've brought him in, which in and of itself is utterly shocking, but I don't think they could get around it. And then where they go from there is puzzling to me. I mean, I can't see if you look at the charges that have been given to these rape gangs and these rapists and these murderers over in the UK and the soft hand they've been given by the judges, you think the judges are going to come in and bring the hammer down on Andrew? There's no chance. I mean, those judges are pretty much aristocracy themselves, many of them, you know, especially when you get up to the higher level to Crown Court. Crown Court, right? I mean, it's crazy. So I don't think anything will happen to him personally. I think that there'll be a big uproar. Who knows what the British government might do to distract us from that. You know, these governments, our government as well, has a history of other things happening to take away from these scandals that are going on. But I think he'll walk personally. I think although it'll be untenable, I think that the British public, although, I mean, listen, they're not coming out and marching in the streets, not in as many as they should do, I believe, about what's going on in the UK with the invasion and the change of culture in the country. So if they're not going to go and do something about that, you think they're going to go and care about what Prince Andrew does? I just don't think so. And so I think that he will walk. I do think there'll be enough pressure that King Charles, calling him Prince Charles because he was Prince Charles for the majority of my life. I think that he will have to abdicate, and then Prince William will step up and become king. And look, I love Kate. I think Prince William's wife is immaculate. You know, she reminds me very much of like Melania Trump. Like, she's beautiful, very well dressed, always puts a good face out in public. And I think that will be the move that they'll do. It'll be the chess move. And then, hey, you've got another coronation. These aren't the droids you're looking for over here. Let's go and have a party. And England is great. The UK is great. And there's nothing wrong. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep our eye on it. It's kind of crazy. And I like how you just alluded to that the government does do some type of distraction. They do it quite often. Because speaking of distractions, you know, I saw this pop up yesterday, and it was just such an eye roll moment for me. In clip 8, you're going to hear President Trump announcing what he's working on in regards to UFOs. Take a listen.
Obama said that aliens are real. Have you seen any evidence of non-human visitors to Earth?
Well, he gave class the right information. He's not supposed to be doing that. You know,
so aliens are real?
Well, I don't know if they're real or not. I can tell you he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
He made a
big mistake. He took it out of classified information. No, I don't have an opinion on it. I never talk about it. A lot of people do. A lot of people believe it. Do you believe it, Peter?
If the president can declassify anything that he wants to,
well,
so
maybe
if you want to make an announcement.
Trouble. I may get him out of trouble by declassifying.
We know illegal aliens, really.
Yeah, illegal. Only illegals.
Are aliens real? They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
All right. So obviously, it just feels kind of, Matt, like a distraction. I don't even care for the UFO argument or the debate or I just don't care. I don't care. But, you know, President Trump has from day one said that he was going to look into this and release information on UFOs. So do you think he's just making good on it? It just happens to be a coincidence in timing, or is this possibly a distraction?
I think all of those things could be true at the same time, right?
Yeah.
My own personal opinion is that there are not aliens. I don't think aliens exist. I think it's bunkum. I think certainly in this scenario, I think what you're going to find out, which is actually a kind of better thing for the government to come out and say, aliens don't exist. What you're seeing is this technology that we have that is so far advanced that you guys should be emptying your shorts. You know, all the enemies of the United States should be worried because we're so far advanced technologically than you guys that we could hit you wherever we want and you wouldn't be able to do anything about it. That's what I think they're probably going to come out and say. I mean, we kind of saw it with the Maduro raid that the US, if the US wants to go in and do something, they can do it. And we've known this for a long time. I think all this stuff is, you know, we've seen it in the past where they're talking about Area 51. That's where they did a lot of testing of the advanced technology that we saw 30 years later. And whatever we think now, if you think about how advanced the F-22 Raptor is, which is, it's, you know, there's still not a plane to touch it on the planet. How far forward we are from that, how more advanced we are from that technology, because even if you look back, I think the SR-71 was designed in the 50s and came out in the 60s. It's still the fastest plane that we know of. So I think that as far as Obama was concerned with that, I personally think he was just talking about what he believes, not necessarily what he knows. I mean, they might say, well, they're, you know, we have some kind of evidence of intelligent life or whatever, and that was reported to him. But I think it's pretty much a big distraction. I think Trump probably went, yeah, you know, just release it, whatever. I don't really care. Let's just get that out the way. Because he really is making, historic leaps. I mean, if you think about it, for the majority of my life, I was like, we'll never find out about JFK. And then that was released, and then we just moved on like nothing happened. Well, we're never going to have the Epstein files. He did it. I mean, now I think he should have done it a lot quicker, but and now you kind of seem probably why. I think the American government had to give diplomatically a lot of notice to the people that were in those files, or the countries of the people that are in those files. But I think that Trump is just trying to be transparent. And I think that what we're going to find out is that we have technology that most people couldn't even conceive. And that's what it is. I don't think we're going to be meeting ET anytime soon.
All right. Well, that's good news for me. I approve. Yeah, I'm just so over the UFO discussion. If we could just end it and drop all the documents out there, I'd appreciate that at this point. So people stop asking me for my opinion on it, because I'm just like, I don't know anything about it. But I do know a lot about what's going on right now globally. And right now, the media is sitting here and they're pushing this idea that we might be going to war with Iran very, very soon. Now, again, the White House not really obviously confirming any of that, and we don't expect them to do that. But it does feel like Israel is nudging us closer and closer to getting involved in all of this. And so a lot of Americans are deeply concerned. And it's not even just Americans, though. Your old home, those in the UK right now, are a little on edge these days. And yesterday, there was actually a report that came out claiming, and this was their claims, claiming that the UK has blocked the US from using their air bases, citing possible legal issues. Now, they're worried about the strikes that could take place in the UK. That's coming from the British media. So that's not an official statement coming from the government. That's reports. So keep that in the back of your minds, folks. But I want to hear your take on all of this, because, you know, the UK fights with us. They're usually pretty side by side with us on a lot of these issues. But if this report's true and they don't agree with going to war with Iran, I think that's really telling.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the UK has different reasons why they don't want to go at war with Iran. I mean, you know, you saw the case about the soccer team in, what, it was Aston Villa. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Aston Villa, the soccer team, basically they were hosting, an Israeli soccer team in the European Cup, I believe it was. And, mm-hmm. and they said, the local police said, no, listen, we've heard that these fans are violent, so we don't want them coming in. And really what it was all about was the, I mean, everyone knew it at the time. It was because of the community that's around that area, which is heavily Muslim. They wouldn't have been, okay with the Israelis coming into Birmingham. So I think that the Keir Starmer government is very, very cognizant of the amount of Muslims they have in that country and how they would react to a strike on, Iran. I think it's easy for us to say, well, you know, they're doing it for this and that. And I think that, you know, essentially the Starmer government has been very frosty with the United States. And I think that they are more concerned about their own affairs, which every country should be. But I also think that, number one, I do think that the USA is going to hit Iran. And I don't think it's just, Israel. I think a lot of people do focus on Israel, but I think that, you know, Iraq was at war with Iran for many, many years. The Saudis have got a vested interest in that regime falling. And also, look, the Iranian people are being massacred in the streets on a daily basis. So there is like kind of a humanitarian side to this. So I don't think it's as simple as just saying, you know, it's one country's influence on the United States. I think there are multiple things going on. And look, the Iranians have been killing American soldiers for decades now. I mean, they were the ones that provided the FPs in Iraq, that killed many, many American, soldiers. And this is one of the reasons why Trump took out Soleimani. I have a personal friend that tracked Soleimani for years and years and years when he worked, in the intelligence services. And this guy he was an evil man and was responsible for a lot of, American lives. Now, the other argument is Trump did say we don't want to get dragged into another war. So I think it's very, very complicated. On another point, Brianna, is that the Iranians have been trying to do covert ops all over the world for many, many years, trying to snatch people, kidnap people. So, you know, and then there's the aspect that they're pursuing a nuclear bomb. And they believe many of them, I know Ahmadinejad was a 12th. He believed in the coming of the 12th Mahdi. All this is disastrous for the world. So, again, like most global issues, it's a very, very complicated one. But I don't think you move the amount of assets into the region like the United States have. They've moved so many refueling planes over there. People are focusing on what is going on as far as the Navy, but not many people are talking about the amount of they've put F-22 Raptors out there. They've moved over F-35Bs. They've moved a ton of air power into that region. So I don't see the United States doing that without actually executing some kind of a mission. And I think it's going to be coming within the next 2 weeks. I mean, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully, Iran comes to the table. But again, I think that this administration has shown that when they do something like this, they're going to execute on it.
Yeah. Well, they definitely have done just that with Venezuela. So I hear you on that front. We've got about 2 minutes left though, Matt. I wanted to ask you, because one of my greatest concerns in all of this, although I believe our military is obviously significantly stronger, the Biden regime put us in a weak position when they allowed just thousands of unknown people into this country. But specifically, when I say thousands, I'm talking about the sleeper cells. Are you concerned about any of that? Because, you know, I haven't really seen the much in the way of reports coming out from DHS saying that they've snatched a lot of these individuals, these Islamists up who have ties to Islamic terrorism overseas, abroad. And so that could be concerning on many fronts. But what is your take on all of that? Because, I mean, again, we don't even have the exact number of sleeper cells. So this could possibly be, I mean, if I say 1,000, it could be over exaggerated. It could be just a couple of hundred. But what's your take on that?
No, I think it's a massive problem. And why wouldn't they do that? I mean, they've been funneling people over here for years and years. I mean, if you were a hostile entity to the United States, what would you do? Of course you'd bring people into the country over a porous border. So I think, I mean, we know this. We know, I mean, the people that I've spoken to in the intelligence services have said that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of sleeper cells around the country. So I think it's a real threat. And you're entirely right to bring that up, Brianna, because it is something that I'm concerned about, that when we do hit, which we will hit, in my opinion, Iran, that they'll trigger all the sleeper cells. It's the sleeper cells being activated in the United States was always a matter of when, not if. And all I can say is that, you know, the great thing is the people that watch this show and watch InfoWars, they're totally clued up on these things. So they've got their heads on a swivel, but every American needs to be armed. They need to, you know, really take their own personal security seriously. Yeah. and keep their heads on a swivel when they're in public places. And you're right, we haven't seen anywhere near enough deportations. And it's more difficult, you know, when these people come in and the powers that be know that they're armed, that they're terrorist cells. So it's a concerning time, certainly. And I really appreciate you bringing that up, because it's something that many Americans don't even think about. They feel safe because they have these two giant oceans on either side of them, but we've had a porous border now for 20 years.
Yeah.
So you can do the math, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a big issue here, Marsden, and it drives me insane because, again, none of this had to happen in the first place. We had security, and unfortunately, Democrats just allowed, and this was all intentional, allowed our enemies to flood on in. Matthew Marsden, thank you for joining us. Folks at home, if you want to give him a follow on X, make sure you do just that. At Matthew D. Marsden is where you can find him on Twitter. And give him a follow. He's an incredible, incredible, incredible political commentator as well, actor, producer, very talented man. So make sure you do just that. Matt, thank you.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, I want to remind you today is the very last day to get 100 times the entries and get a chance, an opportunity to win two vehicles and potentially $20,000 in cash. What am I talking about here? Well, we're doing a contest over at the alexjonesstore.com, and every dollar you spend gets you 100 times the entries. So when you're working on your health and you're trying to improve by, you know, maybe purchasing some of our supplements, I highly recommend the energy shot, of course. But when you head on over to alexjonesstore.com right now, you're going to enter to win. And again, every dollar you spend, you get 100 times the entries, and that is going to go bye-bye in a couple of hours. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Make sure you do just that. And I can't stop talking about it, but try those energy shots. I'm telling you, it is life-changing over at thealexjonesstore.com.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff. And there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed. Two I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it. then you'll be the ones who shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of the Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're joining us for the second hour of the program. A lot happening here in the second hour, of course. We're going to bring you the latest report from Open the Books. Now, Open the Books is a watchdog group that sifts through our government's spending and tries their very best to expose when maybe fraud is happening, or there might be like it's a very questionable situation. They just uncovered a lot in regards to COVID fraud. And so you're going to want to stay put for that one, because that's going to be an incredible interview that we do with Rachel O'Brien. She's been going through all of the information. And she'll break down that report for us in just about 5 minutes. Plus, we'll be joined by Dan Lyman. He's one of the incredible reporters over at InfoWars.com. He's got a lot to sound off on, so I look forward to having him back on the program. But most importantly, we're taking your calls. Yes, we are. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I was a little too confident with that one. That is the number you're going to want to call if you want to join the show. We're going to be talking about a lot, obviously. I know you're all going to want to sound off on Epstein files, glyphosate, because I'm still not done with that. I'll probably start rambling about that, too, soon in a couple of minutes. But if you want to join me in my rambles, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. I was just talking to the control room. Our guys here. And Dan thinks it's newsworthy, so I'll tell you. If you haven't gone to Mar-a-Lago as a member of the media, let me tell you what it's like. When you go to Mar-a-Lago as a member of the media, Trump isn't very nice to the media. But, like, I get it. I get it. I just didn't think it was going to happen to me. I've gone to Mar-a-Lago before for dinner with friends. I used to live in West Palm Beach, so I was very lucky enough to do that. But it's a totally different experience, because when you're media, he actually doesn't allow you to use the bathrooms inside of Mar-a-Lago. You actually have to, and I get why, but you actually have to go out to the porta potty. So I was there for the announcement when he was announcing that he was going to run in 2024. And I didn't do it. I didn't go out there. Now, according to people that went to use the porta potties, they told me that they were very nice porta potties. I've never used a porta potty before. Wasn't going to do it. I know this is probably not your 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. chatter, depending upon where you are right now. But that's what he does. He doesn't allow the media to use the bathrooms over at Mar-a-Lago. He'll give you Coke, though. He'll give you Coca-Cola, I should say. Coca-Cola, water, a couple of drinks. But he will not let you, no food, but he will not allow you to use the bathrooms. So if you're ever reporting, if you're a journalist and you're going to be at Mar-a-Lago, just brace yourself. Don't drink a lot of water. Not a good time. Also, when he's speaking at Mar-a-Lago, you're not allowed to leave. That's a Secret Service thing. No, that's not him. For security reasons, the doors have to remain shut. And it was quite the eventful change of events for me when I learned all of this. So very, very interesting. Very, very. Yeah, there you go. Secret Service spends $30,000 on porta potties while guarding Trump for summer. Yeah, it's not ideal, folks. I don't know. I've never used one because I try to have a little bit of class. But they were apparently very nice porta potties, according to some. But I'll never go back as media again. Lesson learned. Lesson learned. All right, we got more stories we're going to be covering too in a little bit. Tom Fitton actually just gave us an update on one of his lawsuits against the DOJ, FBI. And it's actually kind of shocking when you look at the details as to what the FBI and DOJ have said back in response to his lawsuit. We'll play those details for you in a bit, or I'll read those details for you in a bit, because that might get you fired up. We'll also play a really good clip. It's Tucker Carlson, and I'll play this in a bit. I'm not going to play now. It's a little teaser. Tucker Carlson getting into a little bit of a spat with Mark Cuban. I saw this clip and couldn't stop laughing because it was really true. And Cuban didn't even know how to defend himself and all of that. So I'll do that in a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Today's the last day to win, potentially. Well, it's the last day for every single dollar you spend, you get 100 entries. That's the key element in all of this. But you could potentially win a Ford F-250 and a Ford Mustang, plus $20,000 in cash. That's happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to head on over to the shop and snag some of your favorite supplements, because this sale is going to end in a couple of hours. And I mean, wouldn't those two cars look sick in your driveway? Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you get your supplements. It's going to be a long day for me. Long day for me. But for the rest of you, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is The American Journal with Brianna Morello, live streaming on band.videonex around the globe.
Welcome back. The American Journal, we're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Happy Friday, y'all. A lot happened. I'm trying to do the y'all thing. Is it sticking? I know as a New Yorker, it's not natural, so I'm forcing it. But I will convert to the Southern way of life. Folks, we're taking your calls in just a little bit, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Get on those hold lines. We look forward to hearing from you. I think Amanda in Arizona is on hold, too. We won't go to her right now, but Amanda, if you're on hold, I think you were just writing me an X, and I was actually just going to flag that article that you may have tagged me in. So I look forward to hearing it from you, though. So thank you for calling. Folks, stay on hold if you're there. We're going to be getting some calls in a moment. But I want to get to this next segment because it's all about following the money in regards to, well, fraud, potential misuse of our funds. You know, typical stuff. Obviously, the American people are finally starting to realize what's been going on with their government, and it's not good. It's not good. Millions and millions and millions of your taxpayer dollars have been going to things that you didn't sign up for. And, well, Open the Books have been digging into all of this, and they've got numbers, but they're in the billions. They're in the billions. The good news is improper payments is down since the COVID era, but it's still happening. It's still going on. Joining me to discuss and break down their very latest report is Rachel O'Brien. She is a deputy public policy editor and also an investigative journalist for OpenTheBooks.com. And it is an honor to have her back on the program. Rachel, thank you for being here. You guys have just put out this new story, which I think is very, very enlightening. It has a lot to do with following the money and money being improperly dished out to people who probably aren't worthy of it. So let's break down your latest report.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back. So these are improper payments that the agencies report directly to the Office of Budget Management. Management and budget, rather. So they report, these are self-reported. So right there, you're going to have some errors. You're going to have some missing information. But just starting at the top, last fiscal year, Trump's first year back in office, agencies reported $186 billion worth of improper payments. So an improper payment is essentially an error. It's money that the government paid to the wrong person for the wrong amount or for the wrong reason. It can be an overpayment or an underpayment. And it's for things like there's missing information or incorrect information in government systems. So $186 billion last year. It's $24 billion more than Biden's final year. So the reason in part is Biden's final year was lower than usual because these massive COVID-related improper payments, they began to taper off. So if you look at the first 3 years of the Biden administration, those years were much higher. They were between $236 billion and $281 billion in proper payments. So the Biden administration, his average over his 4 years, I think, was $230 billion, right? Trump's first term, was $168 billion average. So not loose change, but it's far lower than Biden's.
Yeah, and I want to go over the numbers specifically when it comes to COVID, by the way, because I think this is interesting. Now, obviously, we know that the government was pumping out massive amounts of just, I mean, we could joke and say blank checks, but they were pumping out a lot of money to Americans, to businesses to keep them afloat. That's what we were told, at least. Was it just that the numbers are super high because, well, they were pumping out a lot of cash and they didn't have enough time to vet it? Or is there something else to this?
I mean, that's what it looks like, right? If you go back before COVID, again, so if you look at, say, Trump's first couple of years in office in his first term, if you look at fiscal year 17, 18, 19, all of those improper payments were under $200 billion, between $140 billion and $175 billion. So still super high, right? But under that $200 billion threshold, you hit fiscal year 2020. Then you've got your Biden era, 21, 22, 23, all well above 200. Biden's highest was $281 billion in 2021, close to $250 billion in 2022. So yeah, I mean, if you look at what was going on at that time, it is COVID. It is that money that just went out the door without really any checks, as we see now all the fraud that was rampant there. I will say, you know, in terms of improper payments, they're not even really counting fraud, right? An improper payment is what you would sort of just call an error. Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's agencies. They're not speaking to each other, right? They don't share information like the do not pay list that the Treasury has. So you do find some agencies will be making payments to people who should not be getting money. So it's not necessarily fraud. Mm-hmm. Fraud is part of it. But you also do have agencies, for instance, the accounting is not there. They're not reporting what they should be reporting. There are many agencies that aren't compliant with OMB's, requirement to report these improper payments. Some don't report at all. Some only issue partial reports about certain programs within their agency. Some have error rates that are really high, or they have things like they don't have sufficient risk management programs in place. So you have all of this money going out the door, you know, for things that aren't even considered fraud. Now, there is a fraud component to it. We do see every year, along with the improper payments, a report on what has been confirmed as fraud. What we know for sure was fraudulent in fiscal 2024, it was over $7 billion for federal agencies. And again, this is just what's confirmed by a judge in a courtroom. We know it's much, much more than that. What's going on now this past fiscal year for this report that just came out, there is no list of confirmed fraud. For some reason, that data is missing. We asked OMB why it's missing. They have not responded. But it's really important to have that because you can see not only what agencies, but what programs specifically have a history of confirmed fraud. And not so shockingly, those that have a history of confirmed fraud are also oftentimes those agencies that are not compliant with reporting their improper payments. It goes hand in hand. They're not giving the data they're supposed to. And then shockingly, they're also spending a lot of money on fraud. So there needs to be more transparency with these agencies in simply reporting what is going on, to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars being lost.
Yeah, I want to ask you too about the efforts, right? So if we know that there's improper payments being issued, what is it like when the government tries to, or if they try to recoup those funds and pull those funds back? Is that easy? Is that often done? What does that look like?
They do. They are able to recoup. There's various ways they can do it. I will say in this report for fiscal year 25, there is a lot of data missing that we normally get. One of the things that is missing is exactly what is being done to recoup the money. So we do know for sure that 13% of the fiscal year 2025 improper payments, those were able to be recovered. Almost $24 billion, they came back. It's unclear exactly how. I mean, a lot of times you have inspectors general going after funds and getting them to come back. You have audits being done. You do have criminal prosecutions and you're able to recoup some of those funds. But we don't have the exact details for this fiscal year. Again, that data is missing for some reason. And so, yeah, you know, going back to these agencies and doing these audits and doing these investigations is really important to get that money back.
Yeah. And I want to go over OMB for a second, because I obviously, as someone who does a lot of FOIA requests, but I've actually never done it from the financial angle for all of this. Obviously, it's a new administration and they've been in for about a year now, a little over a year now. What is it like when you try to get this information? Are they a little bit more transparent than the previous administration, or is it about the same?
So this is my first attempt to talk to OMB in the new Trump administration. I will say they did not get back to us in terms of answering the question of why we're missing a lot of data from this past year. Mm-hmm. So that's my one instance of trying to get this from them. I will give, you know, a ton of credit to right now the Trump administration. What they did do, Congress was able to pass a bill, mm-hmm. bipartisan support, passed in both chambers. President Trump signed it earlier this month. It's called the Ending Improper Payments for Deceased People Act. Pretty straightforward. Dead people should not be getting any money, right? We see this every year, hundreds of millions of dollars paid to dead people, usually often through Social Security, right? They were getting Social Security checks. They died. For some reason, the information didn't get to Social Security that they were dead. They keep issuing these checks. So this law finally allows Social Security to share data with the Treasury. The Treasury keeps a do not pay list. And, you know, shockingly, these two agencies were not speaking. So now they can coordinate. They can use this master list and avoid payments to deceased people. So hopefully this fiscal year that we're in right now, there should be $0 paid to dead people. So hopefully we'll see that in next year's report.
It's common sense, Rachel, but it's not very common. I mean, the fact that we have to pass legislation that pushes that forward is so crazy to me. But that's where we are. That's where we are. Rachel, you guys do incredible work over at openthebooks.com, and so I'd highly recommend our audience go check it out. I got your Substack, too. I get all your emails. You guys do an incredible job at Open the Books, and it's always an honor to have you on the program and have your whole team on here. So thank you for all the incredible work you're doing, because not many people are going through the numbers, and it's very important that we do just that. So thank you, Rachel.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Always happy to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Folks, it's Open the Books. They are a great group, great organization. I've learned so much from them over these last few years. And again, their Substack page has a ton of articles over there. Openthebooks.substack.com is also where you can find them as well. So make sure you give that a look. Folks, we're taking your calls in just a moment. I got breaking news I wanted to make sure we dished out to the rest of you. Of course, the Supreme Court disappointing the American people by, well, ruling against President Donald Trump's use of the emergency powers for imposing tariffs on imports. Again, the Supreme Court just shot him down on his efforts to bring about tariffs. They're saying that he abused his power. It was a 6-3 decision. The justices struck it down, the tariffs, finding that Trump exceeded his authority. And that comes, of course, from Roberts as well. The three descended were Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh. So that's just coming down right now. I haven't had a second to read the opinion, of course, but I'll get on that soon to figure out what's going on here. But again, not surprising. Also, more breaking news. You know, I reached out to DHS, and I'm very, very disappointed. I'm sorry, not DHS, DOJ. As many of you guys know, and I was actually talking to Alex about this, because we haven't heard information about DHS in regards to the 145,000 children that were recently recovered. These were migrant children lost under the Biden regime. As many of you guys know, over 400,000 children were lost. They decided to bring these children in. It was a huge human smuggling operation. It was awful. But this DHS has obtained and found, and they've located 145,000. That's good news. Good news. We like those numbers. Obviously, we want to be significantly high, but it's a long process. So I reached out to the DOJ because keep in mind, folks, 145,000 unaccompanied migrant children didn't just get dropped off and just go MIA. They were given to unvetted sponsors. Wrong one. They were given to unvetted sponsors. Now, what happened after that? Well, a lot of those individuals were handed over to drug cartels, those children. Some of them were forced into sex trafficking. Some organ harvesting. The government won't tell you that, though. I will. And others were forced into to slavery. It's obviously a horrific situation, but it also violates our current laws in this country. So, you know, me and Alex are talking about it. Like, we haven't really heard about the DOJ in regards to all of this. Where's the DOJ in prosecuting these people? Right? Because we heard from the whistleblowers. The whistleblowers told us that we were giving these children away to drug cartels, to addresses that never existed. All they had to do was run the information. They would have known that this was a person who they shouldn't be handing a child over to. So I asked the DOJ, hey, do you guys have any pending criminal charges against some of these sponsors? Guess what? The DOJ didn't respond. I gave them close to 24 hours to respond. Give me just a number. How many people are you prosecuting? Well, sorry, guys. I ain't got nothing for you. You know why? The problem is the DOJ is not doing anything about it. They were given the opportunity to speak their mind, to tell us what's going on here, and they decided not to say anything. And again, I reached out to them directly. Their media team, so it goes out to several people on their communications team, and the DOJ, who can't seem to get a single win these days. They don't have comments on how many people are being prosecuted for kidnapping children and shuffling them over to, you know, sex traffickers, forcing them into slavery. It's not a priority, apparently. But it also aligns with the Epstein files, given the fact that we still have not seen a major criminal indictment regarding just that. Remember, Ghislaine Maxwell, she was trafficking children, but to who? Sorry, you're out of luck. Can't tell you about that. All right, let's jump to some calls, folks. If you want to jump on and talk to us, the number is 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to want to call. Amanda in Arizona, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, Amanda. Yes, I can. How are you?
Okay. Good, thank you. I was so glad to hear about your topic today and get to share this because I've been trying to bring attention to it for a while. But this facility down in Marana, Arizona, in southern Arizona, is a $100 million research facility that spans over 300,000 acres. And they're using AI and DNA alterations to, you know, change the genetic traits of mainly corn crops. And according to their own website, you know, they claim that it will provide, you know, sustainable agricultural innovations that help farmers thrive, strengthen global food security, and contribute to a healthier planet. But knowing the history of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, that seems a little suspicious in my eyes. As well as a couple of years ago, I was in a training that Bayer was facilitating for science teachers to get data and kind of what they were working on. And I had asked one of the lead researchers about things I had heard from Alex Jones about GMO crops and seeds, and asked them, you know, I've heard that if there's a GMO seed, that it can't be replanted over the years. They have to come back and buy more seeds. And I asked him about that, and he said that was 100% true. And I asked him why they would do that, and his first answer was profit, which tells you a lot about, you know, the industry and this particular company and this facility.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to me that we even have bioengineered food. I mean, I at first had no idea this was even a thing, Amanda. And I remember just flipping over a package and seeing it. And I was like, what does that even mean? And then doing obviously the dive into it. I mean, we're killing our people. And it's obviously something that's deeply concerning because, again, this is a pharmaceutical company, too. I mean, they're dishing us the food. And, of course, this is my opinion, but they're dishing us the food that's killing Americans. I mean, glyphosate is being dished out to the American people by Chinese companies. And the Chinese aren't even doing this to their own people. I mean, it's so mind-blowing when you go down the wormhole. Amanda, how did you even stumble upon this? Because I thought it was interesting. When you tag this on X, I flagged the article and put it on the side to look at it later. But how did you even stumble upon any of this?
Yeah, so I live in Arizona. And how I learned about it was there's an organization I'm a part of that I won't say what it is, but it has to do with science teachers. And they partner with this organization or with the facility to give trainings about sustainable crops and GMO crops. Mm. And so I joined that training to learn more about it and was a little bit horrified by it. So I'd love to see what you and your research and you know, investigative skills can do to kind of dig deeper into this facility and how it's being funded and how it's being used, because as far as I know right now, it's just research, but I can't really find more about how these crops are actually being used or what the future holds for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to look into this. I think this is insane. But it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. And I was just so upset when I saw that the administration was signing this executive order. It's very upsetting, of course. But Amanda, thank you for flagging this and putting this on my radar. Again, the list of everything you have to dive into when it comes to our food products just continues to get longer and longer and longer. And it's so frustrating. But I mean, just to highlight this, folks, this is why I shop at, I mean, I know it's not 100% bulletproof, but you know, I try to get European made products and you could do so at a reasonable cost too. They don't have fruits and vegetables, of course, but Home Goods does have a lot of good dry food options that, pass the European standards. And, that is definitely healthier than our own standards. So that's where I am at these days on a lot of those, products, but for the most part, carnivore. But Amanda, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you bringing this and putting this on my radar. Very thankful for that. So thank you for calling into the show.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Let's get to Anthony in North Dakota, because Anthony, I hear you want to talk about glyphosate as well, so we'll keep it on topic. What is on your mind?
Well, I grew up in North Dakota and moved away for, I've done research in the paint and coating industry and did some stuff on pipeline, but I came back after my mom passed away to help dad out. Mom passed away from cancer. There's a spike in cancer rates in the valley here. And I posted a link on the chat, statecancerprofiles.cancer.gov. And that breaks down the cancer rates per county itself. And if you take a look and use that site, you can find that primarily agricultural areas have a high rate of cancer rates. And that's caused from the pesticides that are applied to the crops. And to me, it's correlation, causation. I mean, it is what it is. But back in the day, I mean, people had heart attacks, strokes, whatever, when they passed away. But now cancer is the biggest thing that gets people. And that ties into general farming practices from the federal crop insurance protocols for weed control. Also for during harvest, if you're a farmer and you want to have your crop ripen at a specific consistent rate so you don't get hit with dockage at the elevator, you'll apply Roundup, and it's called burn down. And they apply Roundup at the time of harvest. The Roundup gets into the husk and the seed of the grain itself, and that residual is what ends up in the food. It's a very big issue from like water quality issue and just general health. I mean, the agronomists, they're kind of like the dirt doctors, and those are the people you'd want to reach out to see what the narrative is from like Bayer or any of these other big agricultural chemical companies. So that's an avenue to take a look at. But also there's the back in the day, I think they still do it, but Monsanto and, you know, this is hearsay, but they have a goon squad that goes around. I kid you not. So the farmers, they've been farming into the right of way off the roads. They've been farming the ditches. So these guys from Monsanto go around and do leaf cultures. So basically, the right of way of the road is public, a public property, so they can go into the fields, spritz down the plant, and test for Roundup resistance. And what they've been doing is they've been clipping farmers that, air quotes, aren't buying the seed from licensed seed brokers and suing them. And what happens is with these GMO plants, they cross-pollinate. They have dominant genetics where you, as a farmer, you don't really, I mean, it's a lot cheaper to hold back your grain to plant for next year. Do a germination test.
Hey, Anthony, can you hold the rest of that thought for just 1 second? We're going to get cut off by a break, but I want you to stay on hold. We'll take you back in just a moment. I want to make sure we don't cut you off. We want you to continue your thoughts. So hold on right there, folks. Again, we're taking calls this portion of the show, so call in if you'd like to. We'll be right back in a moment.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. And the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air, you'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultra Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Folks, I think the DOJ is watching the show. I did just get response back in regards to the children that are missing. As many of you guys know, 145,000 children, migrant children, have been located under this administration, which is obviously a massive, massive victory that was done through DHS. They did send me over some cases. I'm going to scope through them in a little bit, but they did just respond. So to be fair and balanced, of course, I will be reading that response to you in a moment. So we'll get to that in a second. In the meantime, though, let's get back to Anthony, because Anthony was talking about glyphosate and the farming challenges that we currently have throughout the United States and how cancer is spiking. So I didn't want to cut you off. We had a commercial there, Anthony, so thank you for staying on the line. Where were you on all of this? I know I didn't want to cut you off, but I'll let you just kind of continue to discuss what you were just discussing.
Oh, we're discussing the genetic IP. So basically, a farmer pulls back their seed for the next season. The neighbor, they plant, you know, their Roundup Ready, their dominant genetic strain next to them. Those genetics will eventually bleed over onto your plant, especially in like corn. And farmers have been sued in North Dakota that have taken them out of business at the, you know, because of genetic IP. So this is a much larger problem. And if you really want to take a look at, you know, what's really in some of these pesticides, you know, that are bad, take a look at the safety data sheet. A lot of these chemicals, they're fluorine based. And, you know, by listening to Alex for, 25 years, you know, fluorine ain't that good for thyroids and for human metabolic processes. It's the other concern too is, you know, this is from research, you know, it's, you know, if you drive by a field where they're spraying and you can smell it in the air, there's enough vapor pressure, that chemical coming off, basically it gets in the water, it gets in the soil, but you can also have a respiratory inhalation issue from those chemicals. It's a huge discussion that would take a long time to really cover. But the take-home message is, you know, the cancers, you know, are spiking. Our water, you know, because like Monsanto, they say, well, in order to break this stuff down, it's got to be exposed to sunlight. Well, you apply these chemicals to the canopy of the crop, some of that stuff drops and drifts through the canopy itself, gets into the soil, doesn't get UV, the sunlight don't break it down, gets flushed down because it rains, and it eventually ends up in the water table. And people really don't have home filtration systems here, which cause, you know, my opinion, and the data kind of shows it, that there's a correlation to the higher cancer rates because of that stuff. That's a big issue. Then the other issue...
it is a big issue, Anthony. I'm glad you called on this. We got a couple other people on the line who also want to discuss that the food crisis related issue and all of this, and they're right on board with you too. So Anthony, thank you for the breakdown on that front. We appreciate it. And yeah, no, it's happening all over the country, especially throughout the Midwest. I don't think people realize or pay enough attention to it. So yeah, no, absolutely. Let's turn to Chad in Minnesota, who also wants to weigh in on glyphosate as well. Chad, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Well, so say it. I'm upset about that recent executive order, but we're dealing, I guess, with the military. There's not much we can say about or have to say when it's the military, it seems. But what I'm calling about, and great calls today again, great show. Glad that you're covering the glyphosate issues. And I think what is most apparent is that it's so embedded into everything. It's in everything. It's utilized. It's so, you know, we can stop using it and we can rule it, you know, make it illegal to use and do it. But we're still going to have a period of time where everybody that has, I would say almost everybody in the world, right? I mean, most people in the world probably have been exposed to it. Remedies. What are remedies to get, or what are some of the remedies to get this out of our body? And the number one that I've always found, because I've always been concerned about glyphosate, being, you know, I grew up rural Minnesota. I was around chemicals all the time. But glycine powder is probably I would say just to start, and it's inexpensive overall. And it's good for detoxification because your body needs it when you're detoxing anything. And what you do is you just you stack or you load up on glycine. You do about 4 grams of glycine and just take it, you know, daily for a few weeks. And what that does is it prevents glyphosate from being, it's an analog that what glycine does is it replaces the glycine in your body. So it takes over. And then aluminum is also a factor in this. And you can detox with zeolite. I know that I think your Kelsey Siren, I'm pretty sure she had a bottle of Masterpiece zeolite on her table. You might want to talk to her about it, see what she thinks about that. I just noticed it in one of the interviews on your show and others, and it looked like she had that bottle. And that was also helpful. That Masterpiece was part of the detoxification that the guest where he was scanning Alex and Harrison and finding the transmitters or the nanotechnology, supposedly that guy, you know, also pushed Masterpiece zeolite. So I think just overall it's unfortunate because I called in and talked about BioCheck. And BioCheck now has on their, they're actually going to add a MAHA certification.
Huh.
They're based out of Florida. You know, it seems like everybody out of Florida, Dr. Mercola, he's out of Florida. These people have obviously are going in the right direction. And, you know, it's hard, like you said, I can't find any bread. And I would assume it's just the factor that wheat and is just sprayed. I can't find any bread that is glyphosate free. You know, if there's companies out there that are doing it, it's just really hard to find. So I think it's detoxification. We need to detox. And, you know, there's multiple ways. You can grow your own sprouts. You can grow all sorts of things and do it. But glycine overall is probably, start loading up on glycine.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, you know, Chad, it's crazy because, and we're going to get to Dan Lyman in a second, because Dan, our reporter, is now ready to go. But Chad, you know, it's crazy to me because, again, it's really hard to find products, like you just mentioned, bread that doesn't have glyphosate in it. I wish I could test it out. I'm sure there's a way to test it that was inexpensive. But I just started getting flour again on Amazon that comes from Italy. And I don't know if it's a step up yet. I haven't made it yet, but I'm going to try to make my own bread. And then I've got to figure out someone could test it and see if there's any glyphosate in it. Cause again, it's obviously going to be the flour. So it's just flour and water, and you could also use eggs, but you don't have to. But again, I'm on it. So I'll let you know, Chad, if I ever get someone who could test it for me, if that's the key to getting around all of this when it comes to our bread. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. I don't want you to go anywhere. We're going to have more calls. Obviously, see, there's a long list. But we have Dan Lyman, one of our incredible InfoWars reporter, on the line right now. And Dan, it's obviously a pleasure to have you back on the show. As always, you could follow Dan on X, Real Dan Lyman. I had saw a story, Dan, and it was a story that really got me fired up, of a illegal alien who was apparently driving a construction vehicle, and he hit someone after running a red light. And then when you get his ID, you look at his ID, you realize that the individual was accused of committing this crime, who apparently is illegal. He somehow, some way, was able to obtain a real ID. Dan, what's the latest on this? Because real IDs, I was told, are IDs that are supposed to verify your information, and that's the reason why we all had to get it if you wanted to go and fly at the airport.
Right, and exactly. And so there's a couple actually different crash stories that we've covered just in the last few days here at InfoWars. You're referencing this story out of Pennsylvania, where this woman was run over by a construction vehicle. Reports indicate that it was a construction pickup, but it's unclear exactly what kind of pickup, but it has said in all reports that it was a construction vehicle. And this suspect had a ID out of Maryland. He was issued a driver's license out of Maryland, even though he is illegally in the country, and ran over a woman, 44-year-old Rebecca Funt. He ran over her in a crosswalk in Pennsylvania in Littleston Borough, I believe it's called, or Littleston Township. But then, of course, we have this other incident I think you might also be referencing, which is this latest crash in Indiana. We've had so many of these. Big rig driver, illegal alien from India, who has been in the country illegally, according to reports, and we're still working on getting more info because the feds have been very tight-lipped about this one. But this guy, Sukhdeep Singh. They're all named Singh. All these drivers are named Singh. He was led into the country in 2018, unfortunately, under the first Trump administration, but indications that he entered the country across the border as an unaccompanied minor. And so the administration was dealing with a lot of those back then and released him into the country, into the custody of either a sponsor or a family member. And it looks like he was a resident of the state of New York for a while, and so now he's 24 years old, and he apparently had a CDL, a commercial driver's license, issued by the state of New York. So they're doing that for non-domiciled residents of the United States who are then proceeding to become truck drivers with these CDLs, and apparently moved to Indiana eventually, and most recent residence address was Indiana. And it looks like he was able to transfer his New York CDL to an Indiana CDL. It looks like it was a real ID, and it looks like it was a temporary non-domiciled CDL. So Indiana is also issuing these non-domiciled CDLs. And unfortunately, this has cost the life of another American citizen. 64-year-old Terry Schultz was passing through an intersection in a town outside of Indianapolis. And it looks like, according to investigators, that Singh ran a red light in the Freightliner semi-trailer that he was driving and crashed into Terry Schultz and killed him. And so, and also another, a third vehicle was involved. And this guy was taken into custody, according to the information that we have, by Indiana State Police and turned over to ICE. We're still working on getting more information about this particular case, but another American life lost on American roadways to an illegal alien driver. It's just the nightmare never ends.
Yeah, Dan, and I don't know how we end this unless we make these politicians that allow them access to our DMVs, unless we hold these politicians accountable by suing them. I mean, it's a never-ending story, and I feel like we're talking about this all the time now, that there are illegal aliens using their vehicles, which are weapons, to go down and mow down American citizens. Now, obviously, I'm not insinuating that this was intentional, of course, but the reality of it is a lot of these people are not educated enough. They don't have any educational background for the countries that they were brought in here from. Third world countries, they can't read our signs. They don't understand things. I drive around Texas all the time. I'm a driver myself. And I can tell you, I joke all the time and say, that person probably not a U.S. citizen, when I'm driving behind someone who's driving recklessly, has no care for our laws, our roadways, our speed limits, our, you know, get out of the left lane if you're not passing rule that we have here. And it's just so infuriating that this is what's going on in this country. But again, this was all self-inflicted because Democrats wanted to give illegals driver's licenses, and then they gave them CDLs, and then they just looked the other way when they were causing car accidents. And it's sad, but the transfer.
And to be clear, Indiana is technically a red state with a Republican governor. And so even red states are giving them non-domiciled CDLs as well. And you mentioned, sorry to interrupt, but that, you know, these people aren't necessarily educated enough, or they don't have a command of the language in order to get behind the wheel. But they also, in my opinion, they don't have the morality to keep themselves from getting behind the wheel, because they know that they're not capable. They know they're not properly trained. They know they don't understand the road signs or the road rules. And yet they're still getting in these 80,000-pound land missiles and killing Americans left and right. And you see, without exception, every after photo taken by law enforcement, these guys have no expression on their face. If I took a human life in a car accident, I would be distraught. I think you would be too, and as would most of the audience. These guys couldn't care less. And we've seen even on the dash cam footage, when these guys are getting in the accidents, literally in the process, couldn't care less. They just have no feeling for what they're doing. Look at this guy. He just doesn't matter. He just took three lives, actually Haitian lives in that case, which is interesting. But that's another story.
Yeah, they were immigrants too.
Yes, they were. I think they may have been in the country illegally as well, which is just another story. Another tale where a crisis on American soil, everyone involved is not from this country, which is, I mean, it's tragic that they died, but it's just crazy that we're finding out that we are totally overrun in case after case after case. But in the Indiana story, this was an American citizen, Terry Schultz. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it's really sad. And this is all avoidable. And again, these people need to be held accountable, specifically these lawmakers that allow it, because they pretend to be empathetic towards the individuals who they're allowing to flood into our country, but not empathetic for Americans. And that's the issue that I have with this entire situation. But I want to shift gears a little bit. You guys over at Border Hawk, which is another organization that you and your brother, you guys run. Your mom's also a part of it, too. So that's also, it's a family business over here. But it's a great group that you guys have going on over there. You guys have been covering extensively the invasion going on, but you just recently got an exclusive. You guys were tailing around with DHS agents, and you were able to get a look at Operation Liftoff. Now, Liftoff is spelled L-Y-F-T. That's because it's the ride-sharing company, I believe, that they were targeting in all of this. But this is your report. I'll let you break down the latest.
Yeah, so we were invited by ICE to embed with them for a day on an operation, as you mentioned, called Operation Liftoff. This took place in Port Canaveral in Florida, in Cape Canaveral area, right by the port where the cruise ships come in. And this was the third iteration of this operation. They've been doing it every few months there. Excuse me. And what they're doing is they're going into these lots pre-dawn, where many of the Lyft and Uber drivers and some of the other, I guess, apps that are available to rideshare passengers. And they're going into these lots where these guys and these women are waiting in the pre-dawn hours to pick up cruise ship passengers that are disembarking. And the lots are totally full by like 4 or 5 a.m. because they know that this is where, you know, everyone's coming in. On this particular weekend, I believe there were 6 cruise ships coming in that they were expecting. So this is a multi-agency effort. We had the FBI involved, DHS. I was with ICE. We had Border Patrol, a local sheriff, Brevard County Sheriff, as well as Florida Department of Law Enforcement and a couple of other agencies. There were dozens of agents and officers and deputies involved. And so basically they storm this lot where all these people are waiting in their dark cars in a very dark lot as well, and just start knocking on windows and questioning drivers. And so that was going on for a few hours, and they rounded up, I would say, about a dozen to 15 drivers. And then they also had the sheriff's deputies watching the roads for drivers who were leaving, and they stressed the importance that these were all consensual encounters. Anyone who wanted to leave was allowed to. However, the sheriff's deputies were monitoring the roadways for moving violations, and if any of these drivers drove away and probably in a little bit of in haste and maybe a little bit of in a different mental capacity, if they felt like they were getting away from law enforcement, they were making a lot of errors on the roads, and the deputies were pulling them over and questioning them there. So there were a couple of apprehensions right on the roadways as well. And then we found out that the illegals had caught on to these raids, and they had begun parking their cars, waiting for passengers at different locations, like different restaurants and convenience stores and gas stations. So we found out about this because the legal drivers know that they're doing this, and the legal drivers are getting cut in line by these illegals who apparently, we were told, are using some sort of software hack to actually jump the queue that the drivers waited in. So, you know, as a passenger, sometimes you're waiting in a queue for an available driver. Well, drivers also wait in a queue behind others if there's a big surge of passengers for them to get their, you know, their allotted fare. And so these illegals are somehow skipping the line with these software hacks, we were told. And so the legal drivers were totally fine with turning them in, so to speak, or letting them know where we should go look for them. So we went to a racetrack gas station, and there we found more drivers waiting. And so in total, there were 18 apprehensions. They were all in the country illegally. One of them had a pretty disturbing criminal history and had been previously deported as well. And so this was a great operation. And I have to stress for our viewers, the state of Florida is far and away just leading the charge in terms of cooperating with the federal government, the Trump administration, in this immigration crackdown, illegal immigration crackdown. And all of the federal agents that I talked to said Florida is the gold standard right now. So that's really great. I mean, Florida has more than 300 287G partnerships with ICE, which is more than 40 other territories and states combined, ICE tells me, which is incredible as well. And so ICE and their partners were all singing the praises of Florida. And I want to point out that this is very important. People might say, oh, you know, the weaker hearts out there would say, oh, they're just here to make a living, and, you know, they're just driving. We need more Lyft drivers. Well, today we found out that a Lyft driver in Kentucky was just arrested, an illegal alien, for raping a woman and sodomizing her at gunpoint in the back of his Lyft vehicle. So very important that we're getting these guys off the roads. And anyone who has taken a rideshare vehicle in a major city across this country and many non-major cities will know you get in often and the driver doesn't speak a word of English. And yes, this is also ties back into what we were talking about earlier. These guys don't understand the rules of the road. So do you feel safe getting in a vehicle where you might get raped at gunpoint, or where the person driving doesn't know a word of English and they're just scamming the system? And in many cases, they're driving under aliases belonging to other drivers. They are skirting the road rules. We found out, just one more example, that many of them are putting bike racks strategically so that they block the license plate so that they can go through the tollways and not have to pay the toll, but Uber still reimburses for the toll and, of course, passes that charge on to the customer. These guys are getting, even collecting, you know, the toll fares and not being charged for it by scamming the system that way. So we find layer after layer after layer. These people invest so much ingenuity, time and energy into scamming the United States and American citizens and cutting lines literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Well, Dan, this is the reason why we want these people gone. And it's so infuriating, but I joke all the time on X about this, but I actually am very serious about it. Here in Austin, we have those self-driving vehicles that go around and they'll pick you up. And when you're driving or when you're requesting a vehicle, Uber will ask you if you want the self-driving car or if you want an actual Uber driver. And I always joke and say, you know, it's probably safer to go with a self-driving vehicle rather than Muhammad driving me around. But I know a lot of people, some people do get offended by that, and I don't really care for their feelings, but the reality of it is I've gotten into cars before where I've had the Uber drivers, it's 2 a.m. and he probably thinks that I'm just drunk, but I just couldn't find parking, or I parked somewhere else knowing there wasn't going to be parking. And I just need him to bring me to my car. Anyways, it'll be late at night and they'll try to make a move and be creepy and linger. So there's a reason why we've had enough of these individuals. Of course, they're foreigners. They're not American men. And yeah, I'm not saying American men don't rape. Obviously, we know that they do obviously do that. But it's a significantly higher statistic when they are illegal aliens who are manipulating these apps, when they are not being honest with who they are because they think they can get away with it. I mean, this is definitely a serious issue. And I get it, Lyft and Uber, it's a massive platform, so it's really hard for them to sift through everything, but there needs to be a better job done. And I know there's pending lawsuits also as well that allege that. But Dan, before you go, I wanted to get your quick reaction. We got about 2 minutes left. You know, me and Alex were talking yesterday in regards to DHS rescuing thousands of missing migrant children. These were the unaccompanied minor children that were shuffled into the country under the Biden regime. So far, according to Tom Homan, they've rescued about 145,000 children, now that they've located them or they've rescued them. But that's the number he's throwing out there right now. So I asked the DOJ specifically if they have any pending cases against the unvetted sponsors, those human traffickers, those cartel members who were picking up those children and bringing them to, whether it was slavery because they were having them do illegal labor and they were paying them pennies on the dollar for whatever they were having them do, or they were sex trafficked. The DOJ initially blew past my deadline, and so we published it on air. I put it on Twitter as well. But just when you were on air with us, they have since responded, and they've detailed that they are actually actively investigating a lot of these cases. Now, they didn't give me an exact number. They are looking into it, though, and they will get back to me. So this is going to be an ongoing discussion between myself and obviously the DOJ. But the DOJ says that they are partnering up, and they are looking into a lot of this. Because, of course, this is illegal human smuggling, and the sponsors were not being honest. And the DOJ is also investigating and prosecuting adults who fraudulently pose as minors as well. That's what they also gave me. Now, they've listed so far about 6 different cases of potential ongoing charges in reaction to all of this. You've got about 1 minute, Dan. I'll let you have the floor, though. Your reaction to the DOJ saying that they are investigating and potentially going to be charging these individuals, but they only have about 6 charges on the book, or 6 individuals being charged on the book so far.
Right. And I want to point out how amazing it is that you're live tweeting this while you're on the air. That's incredible. But yes, this ties into a few things we've already talked about, a few stories that are brewing right now. Right before we went live, I saw that an illegal alien, I believe from Guatemala, was being charged for actually applying to be a sponsor for these UACs, these children. This ties into the story we just spoke about out of Indiana, where this guy supposedly came in as a UAC. These people can claim, I mean, if you look like you might be under 18, you can claim whatever you want and just say, I don't have any paperwork. So this Indian driver may well not have been under 18. He claimed to be essentially 17 when he came into the country, and he's lived here ever since and then killed an American citizen, apparently. And this also ties into a recent story where we saw that a 12-year-old girl who was trafficked into the country as a 1-year-old
turned over. The commercial break's going to cut you off, but we'll come back to you in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. and it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever. Hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting. Spreads the word. So every order on top of the sales that are already there for a limited time gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. Don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board today with us. We're even more excited because Dan Lyman's still with us. Dan, I kind of applied a little bit of pressure, and I tried talking as fast as I can, but I always trip on my words when I do just that. But you were reacting to the exclusive comment we just got back from the DOJ regarding those missing migrant children and prosecuting the animals that smuggled them into this country. I wanted to hear the rest of your report, so I'll give you the floor.
Well, I was just tying it to something, some things that we've already talked about today, some things I saw right before we went live, and a story that I've seen that has resurfaced in the last few days because two of the suspects have since been indicted. They were being investigated previously, but we covered it a couple of months ago at InfoWars and at BorderHawk, and it was a 12-year-old girl who is now 12 or 13 who had been smuggled into the country, presumably as a UAC, or as part of a family unit, quote unquote. Some of these smugglers come across with very young children and claim to be family members when they're not at all. And she was brought into the country as a baby, as a 1-year-old, I believe, and transferred or given over to the custody of a sponsor who I believe was like a distant uncle. And so while she lived with this uncle for years, she was sexually abused, raped by him. And also apparently one of his friends or many of his friends, at least two people were arrested on that side of things, I believe in the Houston area. So she spent years in just absolute hell and then was either kidnapped or taken away or transferred over to these two women who were just indicted in the last week or two, who then forced her to perform slave labor around their house and made her sleep on the floor and chained her to chairs and refused, you know, to feed her properly. And so this girl endured the first 12 years of her life like that at the hands of family members and quote unquote friends. And she finally escaped one day and managed to, you know, to alert somebody. And she was bruised up. She had lacerations. She was severely malnourished. And so anyways, that's one of these children who just disappeared into the country in the last 10, 12 years. And I'm sure there are many cases like that. And to me, the trafficking of the children and just what is become of them and within our own borders that just allowed to just disappear and hand it over to these predators. It really is the most heartbreaking aspect of the entire open borders crisis and illegal immigration and human trafficking is what is happening to these children. And like I said, I'm sure this girl's story is just one of many that are very similar to it. It's very sad.
Yeah, no, it's very, very sad. And Dan, it's so crazy that we're in this situation right now. Again, this was all imposed on us by the Biden regime. And again, DOJ, no arrests there either. I mean, these people belong in prison who participated in the largest human trafficking scandal we've seen in this country's history. And it's just so frustrating.
The largest human trafficking operation in world history. I mean, this is just the biggest. When you're talking 20 million people coming into the country, a large number of them trafficked. And then, of course, the children, the largest sex trafficking operation in world history, the largest child trafficking operation in world history. The Biden regime oversaw that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's been going on for much longer. This was happening during the Trump years as well. If you recall, there was a huge spike at the border during the Trump years about halfway through his first term. And a lot of them were unaccompanied minors. And the previous DHS head there was saying that these kids get trafficked across the border to enable the adults that are with them who claim to be family members to come into the country. The kids then get trafficked back across the border and reused to enable more adults to come into the country. Absolute horror show. And in many cases, we've seen a lot of videos that actually got censored by social media platforms involving children who were clearly drugged and abused, who were being brought to the border. Yep, just this one right here. Yeah. And used by adults to get into the country. And we can't even imagine the horrors that they went through getting shuttled back and forth and the crimes that were committed against them. It is absolutely heartbreaking. We paid for all of it. We were forced to pay for this. American taxpayers.
Yeah.
It is unconscionable. It's totally demonic. And the fact that people aren't getting incarcerated, tried, and executed for these crimes is a tragedy in and of itself and an outrage.
Yeah. Dan Lyman, I'm on board with that. Anyone who hurts children, anyone who uses children, I don't even know the numbers of how many of these children were actually stolen from their biological parents and then used to get into the country. I can only imagine what those numbers are. But again, these people were coming from third world countries. So I can only imagine what was going on behind the scenes. Dan Lyman, thank you for all the incredible work you do on Infowars.com and over at Border Hawk News. We appreciate it. And thank you for this little overtime news update as well. We greatly appreciate you, Dan Lyman. So thank you for jumping on. Folks, we're taking your calls in just a moment.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, all that's left, get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal Work Study. You're all here today. All right, we're taking some calls. And then later in this hour, we'll be talking to my girl, Mel Kay. She'll be joining the show. A lot to sound off on in regards to the Epstein files. But let's start working our way back down the caller list. We got Rex in Colorado. Rex, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna, thanks. My first time calling in.
Oh, well, welcome to the show. It's exciting to have you on.
Right on. Thank you. You're awesome. I want to talk about the Board of Peace yesterday. Mm-hmm. Trump and Jared Kushner and, I think it was 20 of them met and set up the New Gaza Project and the Abrahamic Gateway and the ISF, which is the International Stabilization Force. I'm a Christian. I'm a conservative. I voted for Trump 3 times. And I don't know. I just feel like this is really sketchy with everything going on with all the Epstein stuff. You know, it feels like a bad horror movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're lying to us. Everyone knows it. They obviously blackmailed all our leaders, and they have the Noahide laws. I'm not trying to get into all that, you know, but that stuff's scary to people like me that feel like we were completely lied to. And I don't know. I just feel like we should be talking about it. No one's even covering or talking about what happened yesterday. And to me, it's like, did we just see the covenant with many from the Antichrist, who is the charismatic businessman that rises in the end times, lead the Roman revived republic, becomes the chairman of the Board of Peace, and establishes this peace system, and Israel marvels after him. Nobody can make war with him. And it's like, we're in the end times, guys. That's how I feel. And that's really what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, Rex, you're not alone. I actually posted about this yesterday on X because I was fired up when I saw this, mainly because I saw the president's commitment to, well, take our money, I guess that's where it's coming from. But there's really no specifics on it as of yet. But apparently we're going to be putting in about $10 billion into all of that. And so yesterday I was fired up when I saw. But again, it's like I can't handle the pile up of L's that I'm taking up these days. You know, the glyphosate thing kind of sent me over the cliff yesterday. But then you saw this, and you're watching this, and you're just going, wait a minute, hold on. We're pouring billions and billions of dollars into rebuilding Gaza as if we had any role in any of that. It was Israel, obviously. But what about rebuilding American communities? I mean, $10 billion would be life-changing for so many Americans. Yeah, Rex, what were you to say there?
It's just a joke. They obviously don't care about the people. It's class warfare. It's like, you know, people like me, just regular, you know, 30-something-year-old dudes born in Texas, mm-hmm. are just completely tossed to the side for literally anyone else. Mm-hmm. And they don't represent our country. They represent themselves, the upper echelon elite, and possibly a foreign country. And it's not right. It's not right at all.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's suspicious when you see the breakdown, right? Because you see Jared Kushner up there, and we were told that Jared Kushner was going to have really no role in any of the political side of all of this because he had no interest. And now here we are. So I don't want to sit here and pretend like, oh, thank you, Jared, for help. It sounds good. It sounds like Board of Peace, maybe an alternative for the UN. We like that. But then when you see this,
I'm sorry to cut you off. It is UN control. So at the end of 2027, as far as my understanding, they are going to transition it to the UN.
Yeah, but there was a lot of people that didn't want to jump on board. By people, I mean countries, because they thought that this was going to replace it. I think it was the Vatican that said that they didn't want to do this because they were afraid that this was going to try to replace the UN, or it was a challenge to the UN. So I think there's a lot of questions there, but I was fired up again about this. It's like a pile up of just L's that we're all taking left and right. And so I'm with you on this. I don't see the benefit to this at all. And again, this is our taxpayer money potentially going to be going. I can't imagine anyone else's money being poured into this, being shifted over there. I mean, Gaza is never going to be a luxurious vacation front. And this is why so many people were critical about Israel's response in all of this, because Israel completely depleted the area and they used the justification of the terror attack of October 7th. And again, when October 7th happened, I was like, hey, you have to respond to that. That was my initial reaction. You can't just let that happen to your people. But then you see the reports that Israel knew that this was going to happen. In fact, Egypt saying that they gave them intel, and then our own government confirming that, yes, Israel did receive intel from Egypt saying that this was going to happen. And it's really hard to wrap my mind around the fact that Israel, which obviously has a very top-notch military response, and we all know that their 18-year-olds, their 19-year-olds walk around with their AKs attached to them. It's really hard for me to understand how this happened, right? Because these guys like had their like homemade propeller planes that they came in here on, not even planes, but they came in here on those. And I mean, nobody detected this. The whole story itself is strange. We never got a straight answer on it. And again, you have to respond to a terror attack. What Hamas did was absolutely egregious. But if there was a lack of response and Israel knew about this in advance, then we have every right to be critical about this. But my frustration is that, you know, Israel responded to it, and I understand why they responded to it. Again, I'm kind of neutral in the subject matter, honestly, between both Israel and how everyone else feels about it with the Middle East. And I usually stay out of that one. But this one has me fired up because it's not our responsibility as American taxpayers to not only pay for Israel to go out there and to get the weapons to do what they did to Gaza, but now we have to pay to reconstruct Gaza. It's absolute garbage. It's a money laundering scheme. And I've just had enough of it. I truly have. Rex, thanks for calling. It's another issue that I'm fired up on this beautiful Friday morning. I don't know. I don't know where we are really as a country right now. And it's really frustrating that this is what's going on, but we're here. We're here. Rex, thanks for doing that. I appreciate it. Let's turn to Tim in Seattle, who's calling back in this week. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Good morning, America. How you guys doing? I just wanted to point out that I don't think our voices are being heard at all. I don't think that the algorithm is conveying the messages that we're putting out to the world. So maybe we should start calling the White House, 202-456-1111. I mean, if anything, Alex should be bullhorning Trump right now. I mean, it's gone sideways, and we have to admit it, and then we have to make the necessary steps to make it better. But if we're just going to put our heads in the sand and say that this is MAGA, then I think the pedophile vampire class had it right to begin with, and we are their slaves. And we should just, you know, commit seppuku politically and just, you know, run up white flags, or actually act like Americans and stand up and fight for the future, because we are now in the battle of good versus evil. Thank you very much, Brianna.
Thank you, Tim. You know, Tim, I hear when you call, Susie Wiles picks up directly, and then she puts you on hold and then never gets the call. No, that's a bad joke. But no, I mean, Tim, yeah, I'm on board with it. I mean, Alex has been sounding off on it. I'm infuriated. I want to be a little optimistic, right? Because, you know, a lot of these people, and there have been incredible people who watch this show, who watch InfoWars, who made their way into the administration, and they're just exhausted. I mean, they're trying their best, but they're up against the machine. They're outnumbered. There's billions of dollars, obviously, involved in a lot of this, too. When we talk about glyphosate, that's just the beginning of the lobbying money that's being poured in right now. It's a continuous beatdown for these folks. I talk to them quite often. They are patriots. They love this country. In fact, they will often watch and they'll shoot me messages about what we're talking about, if we're on the ball or not. There are some great, incredible people out there, and I want to remind our audience of that. Although I'm fired up this morning, there are some great Americans who are working right now in this administration who are trying their best to combat all of this. And it's a battle on all fronts. It's a battle on all fronts. But just know, for folks at home, that there are still some brave individuals on the line right now trying their very best to fight back, to push back, and to help make sure that the MAGA agenda, which we were promised during the campaign, is fulfilled. And so we hope that they could win this battle. But again, I mean, they give us little snippets. They give me little snippets, and we try to tell you all on air what's going on behind the scenes. But they are in this battle, and we are very thankful for just that. And I wanted to make sure that I sounded thankful for them after, you know, I kind of just went a little rant. So Tim, Seattle, thank you for calling. As always, we appreciate it. Let us turn to Mike in Georgia. Mike, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. Hey, listeners, get the Shilajit. That stuff works well. I'm a retired Marine, and after all those years of running around with all that gear on, you kind of feel it as they get a little bit older. But anyways, the as far as the Iran situation, one thing that we have to remember, and I've got a lot of experience in that part of the world, is that we don't have to be at war with an enemy for them to be at war with us. And that's the case with Iran right now. This is much, much older than just even back to 79. Thomas Jefferson knew that Islam was incompatible with the United States of America. He knew if we bent the knee to these people, they would just ask for more and more and more. We were fighting Islam long before the current state of Israel ever existed. So now, as far as that goes, the war isn't a war, quote unquote, a war with Iran is inevitable, and it's probably already happening right now. All this buildup wouldn't be necessary if we had carried through with our strategy during the GWAT, which was position forces in Iraq, Afghanistan. We already had forces in Turkey, and we had forces in the Persian Gulf. All we had to do at that point was sit down with Iran, who is the problem there. Even behind 9/11, they're the money people. They're the head of the snake. And we say, look around you. We would not be in this situation right now. Having said all that, the fact of the matter is we're going to fight this battle with Iran with our technology. You won't be seeing large-scale military forces inside Iran. It's just not feasible. So we're going to use the technology. It'll be very similar to what you saw in Venezuela, except even more advanced than that. Now, transitioning to all the other topics today. All of this that you're seeing right now between, if you want to call them Republicans and Democrats, left and right, is a battle for this technology, this advanced technology that has been perfected over the last, say, 10 years or so. I was witness to some of it while I was in the military and didn't realize at the time what it was. But now as we get into some of these operations, I'm seeing this is the utilization of that technology on the battlefield. Whereas we couldn't use it at the time. We tested it a couple of times, but the communication between branches wasn't sufficient so we could employ it on the battlefield because it could actually cause damage to our own forces. But that's what you're seeing right now. So this battle that's going on is for control of that technology. Now we get down to like Epstein and all of this craziness going on. Mm-hmm. It is true. It is happening. It has been happening. And that, too, is blackmail manipulation by the intelligence agencies. And I'm not saying just Mossad. Mm-hmm. After Israel was established as a state, it was originally established to give a foothold in that region to Western forces. It has morphed into a vassal state to where these intelligence agencies are interconnected. They're not separate. You can't go and say, okay, US CIA or MI6 or Mossad. They're the same thing. It's all the same thing. So when people are looking and complaining, they have to look in the mirror. We are financing this. Now, how do you solve it? There are many different ways to address this issue from our perspective as citizens of the United States, but every single one of them involves scarcity. Now, to bring this all to a head, what are you willing to give up? I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. What are you, as an American citizen, willing to give up? Where do you draw the line? Do you draw it on children of any kind from any part of the world being victimized? Because that's where I draw my line.
Yeah.
And so if they want an enemy, then that's what we have to do. We have to. And the only way to do it is to say, I'm willing to give up X, Y, and Z. What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up your children's future? Because I'm telling you, the response is scarcity, period, end of story. And if you're not willing to, you better start doing some soul search in America, because if you're not willing to live in scarcity, you're not prepared for the fight in front of you. It ain't about going into the streets. You saw what happened in Minnesota. Those people, they ran off the federal government for all intents and purposes. And the strategy there is, yeah, suffer through it. You deal with it. And that's what we need to do as a people. We need to set states like Minnesota. You want to live like this? Go live like this. We're not funding it. Yeah. Let them suffer through it. And that's the only way, Brianna. And I'm gonna tell you, you can have all these lofty ideas of what we need to do, and this politician's going to do, and that politician's going to do. They're not going to do anything because they can't do anything. They can't. It's too big. It's too intertwined. It's too connected. The only way you can do it is stop. No more funding. And you know, how do you do that? Ask yourselves that question, listeners. How would I stop them from doing what they're doing? What happens when everybody complains when the government shut down, right? Because people don't get funding. Well, you guess what you do? You stop the funding. Now, I'll leave that up to the individual citizen to figure out what the best way to do that is. But if you don't do it collectively, we are done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brianna. I appreciate the time.
No, Mike, well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for your service. We appreciate it. No, you're 1,000% correct. And the line should be pedophilia. The line should be those demonic souls who decide to torture children for their personal pleasure. That is my line, and that will always be my line. And everyone who isn't doing anything on this or is refusing to do anything, like, we're not giving up on that. We're not giving up on that. Thank you for that, Mike. We greatly appreciate it. Folks, I want to make sure you saw this, by the way, because I know I teased it at the beginning of the show in regards to Tom Fitton. Tom Fitton's given us an update about a lawsuit that's currently ongoing, and he claims that this is, by the way, through Judicial Watch, I should say. They do an incredible job at things like this. But Judicial Watch sued to find out how much the deep state operatives over in the Biden regime and their FBI were paying Twitter to censor and spy on Americans. So he sued for that. Well, according to Tom Fitton, Kash Patel, who's obviously the FBI director, and A.J. Pambondi's Justice Department, told a federal court that we shouldn't get a summary quarterly totals of payments because it might expose FBI law enforcement secrets. Now, unfortunately, on that case, which is strange, it's Judge Boasberg who agreed and told us we could. Oh, sorry, that they agreed with the feds, of course, his deep state operative. And told us we can't have the info. So they tell you it's a new administration running the DOJ and FBI and the FBI 2.0. But sorry, I can't show you that. Can't tell you where your money's actually going to in regards to the efforts to censor Americans. Judicial Watch doing an incredible job is still holding this administration accountable, and they don't care about loss of access. So they do great work, and we are very honored for just that. All right, let's go to Fizzy right now, who's on hold. Fizzy, you want to talk about Epstein's last phone call? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Sorry, I'm going to try and get to a little quieter area. I wanted to talk about the phone call. The DOJ probably does not have a record of that. I think they contract those services out, so it's likely they don't have a record.
Yeah, well, so you're referring to, and for our folks at home right now who are not writing on this one, let me do that for you, because Fizzy's citing a FOIA request that I had submitted last year, and in that FOIA request, I asked the Bureau of Prisons, which is run under the DOJ, by the way, and Fizzy, I'll go back to you in a second, which is under the Bureau of Prisons, I specifically asked for the recording of Jeffrey Epstein's final phone call. This was the final phone call the night where he allegedly killed himself, according to authorities. And so I asked for that phone call specifically to find out what the tone of his voice was, whether he was optimistic, because according to the emails, he was apparently working on a plea agreement through his attorneys. And so I wanted to hear what he was all about to prove whether or not did he actually kill himself. Well, the Bureau of Prisons responded to me by saying they had no record of that call, but they do, in fact, Fizzy, record all phone calls. I know that there is private companies that are responsible for holding on to these recordings, and I do know that there is involvement there, so you're right. But they are supposed to record all the phone calls. There's no excuse that they've given us since the report came out regarding why that call was not recorded. Again, this is not something that's normal. Sometimes, yes, if it's an attorney they're speaking to due to, you know, client privilege, then yes, they would possibly not record the phone call. But he alleged that he was speaking to his mother, and so they don't know why that phone call wasn't recorded. Now, just keep in mind, too, this is reports, of course. His mother died 15 years prior, so he wasn't talking to his mother. Those who have been reporting to the media said that he was actually talking to his sister, but again, it doesn't make any sense. The DOJ hasn't come out and said why that call wasn't recorded, but it is supposed to be recorded all. And when you call a jail, because a lot of the J6ers, a lot of the people who are charged with crimes that I'm investigating, as soon as you get on the phone with them, it says this is a recorded line, and it warns both sides that your call is recorded. So just a little bit of details there. Yeah, there's been no explanation, though, Fizzy, as to why they didn't record that call. I'll let you react, though, after I just gave the briefing.
No, I just thought it was possible that they might not actually have the recording if it's in the private company's hand. Now, I don't know if they could just demand it, you know, from a private entity, but, you know, it's just something I was thinking about when I heard you talk about it the other day.
Yeah.
There was one other thing I was curious about, wanted to get somebody else's take on. You know, if we're still paying the Taliban millions and millions of dollars a week, What's the potential they could be used as a ground force if we, you know, move ahead with an attack on Iran?
I'm not sure. I know it's being given as humanitarian aid. That's what they pretend it is. So I'm not 100% certain on that front. Not my level of expertise either, but I think it's interesting. Yeah, the Taliban obviously shouldn't be funded, and I think it's being held up, that bill, by the way, which comes from Congressman Tim Burchett. That is a bill that's being held up. It passed, I believe, in the House. It's being held up in the Senate right now. Again, I don't think it makes any sense as to why we're still doing this, but we are being held hostage by the deep state operatives, and they are still very much in control, Fizzy. So no surprise there. I want to thank you for calling in, though, and thank you to everyone who's on hold right now. We have Mel Kay calling into the show as well. And we'll have her on in just a few moments. So I didn't want to leave her hanging, but we appreciate everyone that's called in. Of course, I try to go down the list of callers, and we can't get to everyone, of course, but we do our very, very best. So thank you for that. Folks, I want to give you a couple more stories that are maybe not so much in the headlines, but definitely worth your attention. Florida lawmakers have approved legislation to rename Palm Beach International Airport to President Donald Trump International Airport. Now, that passed 81-30 in the Senate, in the House. And then in the Senate, it was approved by 25-11. Now, this is going to have to go to the governor's desk. That is Governor Ron DeSantis. And also, it's going to require the FAA's approval as well. I would assume they'd make this a thing, of course. But that's where it's at right now. So Palm Beach International Airport might soon be Trump International. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that a lot. I'm not going to lie. I do love PBI as a former resident over there. It's one of the best airports, barely any lines over at TSA, and it's a breeze. So I do love that. All right, folks, we've got more coming up in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we got a couple more hours left in that deal we're doing. Every single dollar you spend gets you about 100 times the entries. Not about it. It does get you 100 times the entries over at thealexjonesstore.com. And what are you entering? Well, you're entering to win potentially a Ford F-250 or a Ford Mustang. and then potentially $20,000 in cash. Who couldn't use $20,000 in cash plus two sick rides? You got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and every time you make a purchase, we're going to enter you into this contest. Now, again, that offer is only going to last for a couple more hours. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, and I won't shut up about it, but the energy shots are absolutely amazing. So you got to head on over to the shop right now and grab those today. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Mel K is up next.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
Are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Here
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Mel Kay will be with us in just a little bit. I wanted to play a little throwback clip. I mean, obviously, there's a lot to be down about in regards to the Maha movement. And, you know, I want to remember how much of an incredible patriot that RFK Jr. actually is. And so I want to play clip 7 for you because it's him calling out Bill Gates and all the people trying to destroy this country and connecting the dots. Take a listen.
And the last one of these was in 2019, October. And it was hosted by Bill Gates, by Fauci, and by April Hayes. And interestingly, by George Gale, who is the head of the Chinese CDC in New York City. And any of you, I'm sure a lot of you, have gone and looked at this on YouTube. It's called Event 201. And the fourth simulation that day, the last one, is all about how you use the pandemic as a pretense for clamping down totalitarian abridgments of freedom of speech, and particularly, how do you stop people from talking about a lab leak as the source of these viruses? Yeah. Now, this is October 2019. Nobody, none of us at that time, ever heard of COVID. We now know that COVID is almost certainly circulating by mid-September. On September 12th, the Chinese government kicked down the door of the Wuhan lab, brought in General Wei, which is a bioweapons expert from army, to run the lab and remove all the data function studies from their public-facing websites and all the genomic sequences from all the viruses. The Chinese government clearly knew that the virus was circulating in September, so a month later you have this. That same week, Bill Gates, who was overseeing this simulation, made a 1.1 million shares of BioNTech vaccine, which later became the Pfizer vaccine. He then sold that, almost all that stock, 87%, 2 years later, at a $242 million profit. And a week after that, he publicly announced the vaccine didn't work. This is going to be kind of pump and dump skater. Because he was the guy who was on TV with his minion, Peter Hopez, who took $52 million from Gates for his institution. Gates made his institution. So you had the pair then pumping up the stock for 2 years and then dumping it a week before he goes on TV and says, oh, it didn't work after all.
All right, so the good news is we know where all the bodies are buried. We have somebody who's in this position of power, willing to speak about that. That was obviously prior, I believe, to him taking on that HHS position. Now what are we going to do about it? That's a key question in all of this. I want to get to clip 5 as well, because clip 5, it was a good chuckle. I was listening in, and Tucker Carlson was on a panel with Mark Cuban. And Mark Cuban, he's very empathetic. He's very empathetic to Ukraine and thinks we should be doing more. But when Mark Cuban is asked, well, what are you doing? He doesn't really have an answer. Take a listen.
Take on whether we should be sending money to Ukraine or not. Were you in favor of that?
Man, they need it.
I mean, honestly, I don't have a good answer. You know, I can make an argument both ways, and half my family is Ukrainian from my grandparents. And so, you know, personally, I think we should help, but I don't have a studied answer for you.
How much money have you sent to Ukraine?
None.
Oh, so what do you mean by we? You're the one whose family's from Ukraine. Like, why don't you send them $1 billion?
Because I'm trying to fix healthcare.
Why don't you fix their healthcare if you're, like, so deep? If you think we need to help, why don't you start? How about you first? Yeah. I notice that's never, like, even an option for anybody. It's like, we need to help. That's not what charity is. Forcing other people to help is not charity.
Here's
it's
the good
vanity.
News. The good news is all the weapons were on loan lease. We're getting it back. And our dear President Trump has negotiated that we own half the minerals. So he turned this horrible tragedy of a war into a profit center, which is one of his unique gifts. I think we can all agree.
Right. Can I?
You need to cough up the cash. You're a taxpayer dollars need to get sent to Ukraine. But Mark Cuban, who was a very wealthy man, I don't really have a plan for this, but we should definitely do more. Isn't that something? quite the hot take. All right, folks. Yesterday, the Les Wexner audio dropped from his deposition, and it was quite the interesting, deposition. I don't think it was bombshell, but he does make a lot of key points in it, financial points. I want to play clip 9 for you. And this one was actually, I think, probably the most explosive part. Take a listen.
I think it was his experience at an industrial level, like working for a big company like Bear Stearns, and then he had done personal work for the Rothschild family in France.
Personal wealth management, essentially?
I don't know.
Okay. We've seen some reports that he would present himself as a bounty hunter, that he would find people's missing money. Do you recall him saying anything like that?
No. Well, specifically, I talked to Ellie de Rothschild, and so I mentioned that earlier. So he represented their whole family. So there had been a whole bunch of people, most of whom I never would have met, but I knew Ellie. I never met people, but there were people that called me that either insinuated or said they were knew Jeffrey through a financial relationship. And so, I mean, they could have been actors, but in the time, a guy calls me up. I'll give you an example. Because I want you to understand this, because it's so confusing to me. He would say, like, I'm providing financial advice to the founders of Google. I'm providing financial advice to Jeff Bezos. I'm providing financial advice for the chief technologist at Google. And I'm in good company, because these are really smart guys with a lot of money. And you have to put yourself in the mindset of if my attorney said, he was qualified to argue in front of the Supreme Court, I'd believe him. I didn't say to call the Supreme Court and say, tell me, is he really an attorney or did he do this?
All right, joining me to discuss Mel Kay. She's host of the Mel Kay Show, and she's also the author of the book, Americans Anonymous. And she's with us now to discuss the very latest that we've learned from the Epstein file dump. Mel, thank you for being here. You do an incredible job over on Rumble. So, folks, give it a like, subscribe to her page, The Mel Kay Show, and follow her on X. Mel Kay Show is where you could find her. All right, Mel, obviously, we did learn a little bit from the deposition, but I wouldn't say it's bombshell. Obviously, it was a little button up. We'll play that clip in a second, but I wanted to get to this one because obviously this is the Rothschild family connection that he's digging into here, and you're an expert on the front. So what do you make of this?
Again, I think that we have to really take into account the big picture here, which is that there is an international, supranational banking system that was created above our nation, above our presidents, above anyone that the people have elected. And frankly, you know, Les Wexner is saying right there that Jeffrey Epstein was a money handler, not just for the Rothschilds. And I don't know if he was bringing up Bezos and the Google guys or whatever as kind of if that was true or not. But whatever the case may be, this is exposing that the banking system is the real, I think, center of all of this. And this is why I think they are dragging their feet, because, you know, you have Wexner talking there, but also the relationship with JP Morgan and Jeffrey Epstein is very disturbing. And I think most people that had their lives destroyed during the 2008 crash that looked at all of these documents understand that Jeffrey Epstein knew that that was going to happen before it happened. Jeffrey Epstein had a very close relationship with many people, JP Morgan, not just Jess Staley. Jamie Dimon has said he's never met him, which seems to me impossible knowing that world in New York City and Manhattan and how it worked. But at the same time, I think the American people have to take a step back and look at the capture of the financial system, and that we have been living in a fraud essentially since the Federal Reserve that went on steroids after World War II. And I don't know why J.P. Morgan can get away with things over and over and over. You know, they didn't get charged in 2008. Then they were involved in the Madoff case. They had two counts. Nothing happened to them. They pay fines that mean nothing. And now we have 20 years of transactions that weren't marked as suspicious activity reports. And I think we really have to look into that and look into how they could go back after Jeffrey Epstein was arrested in 2019 and go from 89 or some low number of suspicious activity reports on Jeffrey Epstein's 20 years of accounts and then reclassify them so that there's 4,700 after his death, suspicious activity reports. You know, there was an executive order passed by Donald Trump. I think in the first term, if you don't recall, I believe that it was executive order regarding people that profited off of trafficking, sex trafficking and all of that. And it was about seizing assets. And here we are, and we're not seeing any one be held accountable at all on any of this. And it's just getting to a place where it's disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, Mel, I was actually kind of surprised yesterday when there was an announcement made that the Epstein estate is dishing out potentially $35 to $25 million in settlements to victims. I didn't realize that they still have all those funds still in their control, and that to me just sounds insane that they would have the millions in their control right now to be dishing that out. Something I guess I have to look into, but I just didn't understand that they even had access to that. That's quite
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and this is the least of it. There's already been over $300 million doled out by J.P. Morgan to the victims. I'm also told that 25 victims got paid off by men that were involved, and they signed NDAs. That came even from Ghislaine Maxwell's testimony. We have HSBC that has been, you know, in every crazy situation from drug running, and JP Morgan's been caught up in that too. You know, it's just, at what point do we, the people of the United States, look at the banks and the people that have I think pulled the rug multiple times for their own benefit with the banks, particularly in 2008 but before, and realize that we are all being played, looted, lied to by these same people, and yet, you know, we still have this infrastructure that we can now see because of the Epstein files, but we also know is totally rigged against the people of this country, against the taxpayers. And we have to analyze what is going on here and have our voices heard, because these banks should not be functioning above the nation. They should not have get out of jail free cards. There was an executive order, like I said, I think it was 1509 for anyone that participated, aided, you know, basically knew about sex trafficking or human trafficking would have their assets seized. I think it's time for people to start saying, well, when are the banks going to be held accountable? And do not forget that this doesn't just go back and deal with Jeffrey Epstein. This is many, many, many times, including the rigging of gold and silver, the boat that was found that supposedly belonged to J.P. Morgan. I mean, I just don't know how many decades we can deal with a class of people that are somehow aligned with the supranational infrastructure that Jeffrey Epstein was one of the fulcrums of, literally running above us. And, you know, another thing that people have to know is that a lot of this International Organization Immunity Act I keep yelling about and telling people they have to look at it and rescind it also protects a lot of things that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in. It is clear that Jeffrey Epstein helped set up the Clinton Global Initiative. He also looks like it was very obvious that he worked in depth with the Gates Foundation. And now we find out that he was in touch with DARPA, which should terrify everyone, because he's a transhumanist eugenicist trying to meld man and machine with whatever experiments he's doing. So, I mean, there's a supranational military grade intelligence community that's linked to the international banks running above the United States of America that the people have had zero you know, accountability for these people. And I think that it's time that we say enough's enough. Our debt is not our debt. Our debt is the looting of the people of this country for endless wars for profit, for all of this stuff. And it, a lot of times it goes right back to JP Morgan Chase, and they're never held accountable. What do they care about $11 billion, you know, fine? But these people, these bankers, they're never held accountable. And right now that's who I think they're protecting. You saw Nancy Mace say you wouldn't believe the names. I think the whole financial system would fall apart. Well, Well, let's get to it.
Yeah. That's one risk I'm willing to jump on board with, of course. Mel, yeah. By the way, folks, if you're just jumping on right now, we're with Mel Kay right now, host of the Mel Kay Show. You can find her on Twitter at Mel Kay Show. Mel, I want to get to that email you were just talking about because you found this and sent this my way. It's an email between Jeffrey Epstein and Tom Prisker. And it says, Tom Prisker is apparently saying, I'm seeing DARPA lady tonight. And then Jeffrey Epstein responds by saying, ask her if we can NSA code breaking, that's signal processing, to work on brain. This is kind of crazy. Break this down because I don't know exactly what this means, but this definitely means then that Jeffrey Epstein, if I'm reading this correctly, is somehow, some way trying to figure out if he could, I don't know what NSA coding means, but he's trying to get into the DARPA information that they have. What's going on in this email?
Well, what he's saying is he wants to get the DARPA information on manipulating brains and minds through MKUltra-esque technology that they've been developing since Operation Paperclip, since the creation. Look, it says to work, NSA code breaking, to work on brain actinity, I don't know what that means. I think it's acuity, I don't know. But intracellular deception, okay?
Yeah.
This is mind wars. This is right out of that disturbing NATO document, the cognitive warfare battle for your brain document I've been telling everyone about since 2020. This is him saying we can hack people's brains and manipulate humans. I want that information from signal intelligence. There's also another one with Kathy Ruemmler saying that he's meeting with the head of DARPA. DARPA, if people do not know, is essentially every experiment that you think sounds too outlandish, including the creation of LifeLog, which became Facebook, of Google, of all of this spying, all of this manipulation of minds with technology and whatever nanotechnology as well that he funded at Harvard with Dr. Lieber, who got a slap on the wrist. But this, again, he was funding the Human Genome Project. He was funding all kinds of eugenic stuff, all kinds of brain manipulation. Like, you have to understand that is happening at DARPA, and DARPA is funded by InQtel, which is the CIA's essentially hedge fund. And all of this money is coming from us. I mean, they're grants that go there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff they're doing is to manipulate the minds of individual citizens and groups of people to cause chaos, to be a battle of the mind wars from, that goes all the way back to Colonel Aquino, the Satanist that somehow ran the psychological division of the U.S. Army during, past World War II straight into MKUltra becoming a project of the United States military, a Satanist that, wrote Mind Wars, and Mind Wars has been, slowly but surely evolving over the years to where, you know, NATO's putting out a whole document about how they can manipulate people's brains remotely and turn them into Manchurian candidate, whatever, assassins or, mm-hmm. I mean, all I'm saying is he was very involved in the transhumanist manipulation of minds, of brains, for their own good. This is terrifying when you then hear people like Noah Harari talk about, that COVID was when the humans decided that they would allow, track and trace surveillance under the skin. We know back to Epstein's talk with Bannon that he was on the Trilateral Commission. He worked with the Rockefeller Foundation. He was on the, Council of Foreign Relations. And then also some kind of weird group called the Zodiac group that Paul Volcker, and these are lifetime memberships on the Zodiac group, which apparently he was on with Paul Volcker, who used to be the head of the Fed and has sat on the board of the Bank of International Settlements, which I say we need to take their immunity away. The Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, the IMF, and all of these tentacles that are all protected, including the EU, and start looking at where all this money has gone and to whom, because to me it seems like, you know, they're not hiding it, and these emails are the place to start. And that's the biggest problem, is the financial crimes were easily able to be prosecuted already, and they haven't been. And I don't know when the financial crimes are going to be looked at finally, but it looks like those are the people that are being protected, are the people that have been manipulating our nation from above by using financial means, endless wars for profit, trafficking of humans, drugs, weapons, and Jeffrey Epstein's in the middle of it all. So who else is in the middle of it all. And I think it's time that some of these bankers that destroyed the country multiple times and destroyed millions of lives in 2008, and Eric Holder let them off with a slap on the wrist because they were too big to fail, so we bailed out the banks and consolidated. I just think the people have to get together and realize that we are all on the same team and we are fighting something that's supranational, mm-hmm. and that nobody on Wall Street or D.C. Seems like they want to tackle.
Yeah. Well, Mel, I mean, that's one of the key elements in all of this. And by the way, I think it was a typo in that email because nothing's coming up when I type in that. It corrects.
No, it's acuity. I think it's acuity. He spelled wrong a lot of times. Remember, he didn't go to college, so maybe he's not a great speller. He got all those jobs at Bear Stearns. I mean, it's just looking more and more like this is the international intelligence community that was built above our nations, that's in tandem with MI6 and Mossad and all of them. I think that the CIA, USAID, all of these groups are post-World War II, a rogue State Department that the Dulles brothers created to function above our government, above the people. I mean, we don't even register right now in D.C. The people of the United States of America, not our vote, not our voices, not our what we want for this nation, it is not considered at all. And you know, the lawfare people keep getting away with manipulating law to stop the will of the people and subvert us. The NGOs are doing it to subvert us and stop the people. But the banks, more than anything else that they work for, both I believe all these intelligence agencies work for that international banking system, them more than anyone have never been held accountable since we were betrayed with the Federal Reserve. And I think it's time that we say, look, Epstein was clearly at the highest level of banking, of I don't know, technology, brain interface, eugenics, COVID. I mean, this all goes to the money. And if the people don't demand that this be investigated on that level, then nothing's going to change.
Yeah, nothing is going to change. And Mel, we're still pushing for accountability. So hopefully that comes eventually. Who would have known that the UK was going to be the first one to make an arrest in the Epstein file dump? And that's just
I don't think they have a choice. It should have happened 15 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can only cover it up for so much time, I guess, but it's been so frustrating to sit back and watch. Mel Kay, you do a great job hosting the Mel Kay Show. Folks, give her a follow on Rumble. That's the Mel Kay Show. She's also the author of Americans Anonymous. And then on X, follow her as well. You drop all these great gems, Mel, and I always become a little bit smarter when I read your posts, so I appreciate that. Follow her on X, Mel Kay Show, where you could find her. Mel, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. We appreciate you, so thank you.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we got a lot going on still, so buckle up. I know Alex is going to be starting up next in just a little bit. Actually, it's going to be a very, very big show on the Alex Jones Show, so you're going to stay put there. I don't know. There's this clip going around. I'll play it quickly. This is clip 10, and it had me because they obviously you've seen it because it's a viral clip. Les Wexner is being threatened, what appears to be threatened, by an attorney who's sitting next to him during a deposition, but you don't hear what's said prior to all of this. I want to play clip 10 for you so you can hear how it even started in the first place. Take a listen.
Jeff said people could be walking out with forks and spoons. I said, gee, that's a good idea. We ought to have an inventory. But then there was I hired a lady to be like the house manager who had run the U.S. Embassy in Rome. And she said, yeah, I know how to do this. And I said, well, why don't we keep inventories of stuff? And she said, well, yeah, I could do that. So she did that as kind of a puny example. But I wouldn't have had the idea. But then all the things were inventoried. That wasn't work for me or Jeffrey. It was just regularly done.
Answer the question.
Okay.
A discreet question on a different topic. Mm.
So it's interesting when you hear him lay that out, of course, and I think people have been clipping it, so you haven't heard the front. But again, obviously he was onto something, and that's why the attorney said that. How come we don't know who that lawyer is? I have not seen the name of the lawyer. I've not heard anyone ask any questions. I mean, it's quite clear, it sounds like, the threat. But obviously that could be a joke. But folks, we're talking Epstein here. All right, guys, don't go anywhere. We have a jam-packed program for you for the rest of the day. Obviously, the Alex Jones Show starts next. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go somewhere, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's the final day to enter into that contest. Every single dollar you spend, you get 100 entries at thealexjonesstore.com.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, what, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, the store, hey, Patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.